The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Primetime stage, and certainly Lucas Oil Stadium electric at the outset.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Eric Scalavino. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Edelman slot right with LaFell. Give to Gray. Runs it between guard and center right. He pushes to the end zone. And Jonas Gray has a touchdown for the Patriots.
Statement drive.
You know, it was a good win for our team today. I was really proud of our offensive line in the running game. Thought those guys really did a good job controlling the line of scrimmage.
Just run it right down their throat here.
Two overload right. Brady out of the eye. Hands it to Gray. Runs it up the middle. Diving for a Patriots touchdown.
Can't stop it.
It was a great win. I thought a real complimentary win. So defense played great, kept us in it all night.
Andrew Luck extends both hands, drops back in the gun, pumps, throws across the middle, ball batted away by Rivas and deflected to McCourty. An interception for the Patriots. Devin weaves his way across the 30-yard line, and he's tackled from behind, dropped by Fleener. Play fake by Tom. Throws to the right corner of the end zone for Wright, pulls it in, tumbling for a Patriots touchdown.
Whatever it takes, I think there's games where you go in and, you know, we're not sure how well we're going to run it, but, you know, when it's going well, you just want to keep giving it to him. So he just had great vision tonight.
First and goal to go from the eye. A give to Gray. Lowers the shoulders. Running it right. In for a touchdown. His third of the evening.
It's like being a bully in a schoolyard. Hey, kid, give me my lunch money. And then give me your bike.
You know, he did it for us in preseason. He does it for us every day out there on the practice field. He works hard, and I thought he ran hard tonight. Ran real hard.
Brady under center, gives it to Gray. He runs it left. He runs it to the end zone for the fourth time. Touchdown, Patriots!
We took your lunch money, we took your bike, and now we're going to take your gold chains. Bullies in the schoolyard can't stop it.
There is no doubt on this night, a primetime performance by Jonas Gray. Brock motions right to left, Tom backs up, throws for Gronkowski, makes the grab at the 20, spins away from a defender, stiff arms another, carries across the 15, to the 10, to the 5, Gronk leaps to the end zone, touchdown Patriots!
Beast mode, cannot stop him!
A lot of things the Colts are able to do here this year, fortunately they weren't able to do them tonight. Proud of what our guys did, players played hard, they definitely deserve to win tonight.
All right, they sure did. They dominated the Indianapolis Colts in their house, showed them who's boss in the AFC, and that, of course, is the New England Patriots. Huge win atop the AFC, atop the seedings. Number one bye if the season ended today. They did what they had to do in convincing fashion, and we're here to talk about it from 12 to 2 here on PFW in Progress. If you're a Patriots fan, you got to be just bubbling over with enthusiasm for what's ahead here. I mean, we were talking about this, you know, tough stretch of games, which it is, but, you know, they're just knocking them down one by one, Paul.
Absolutely. And you always make fun of me. We talked about this a little off the air, and you always say that I like to downplay the wins after they happen. And that's when I predict them. I should say, when I predict the Patriots to win, you claim that I do so I can say that it was less impressive. And
right.
I said it last week, and I'll say it this week. There's nothing that's any less impressive about the victory after it happened than it was. They're two good football teams that they absolutely controlled, for the most part, for 60 minutes. And the second one on the road, as you said, absolutely dominant.
And I think, you know, one of the cool things, I think, last year they established toward the end of the season that they could win offensively in different ways, whether it was Brady some games, the running game with Blunt other games, and that we're seeing that again this year. But I think the added element this year is that the defense is better.
I thought the defense played really well Sunday night. I thought they played much better Sunday night than it did against Denver, and I know a lot of people would probably disagree with that, but I feel like Indianapolis in the dome – with all the different weapons that they have, I think is almost better offensively than Denver is. I know statistically they were better, and I think it was more impressive what they did. There were some hiccups, but that's what's going to happen. When you play Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck,
right,
you're not going to shut them down completely. I mean, I think it was a real aberration what St. Louis did to Denver. You're not going to shut them down like that very often. I thought what they did Sunday night was, you know, considering all things considered, I thought as effective defensively as they've been in a long time.
It's exciting. Good times. So, and then the whole thing with Jonas Gray, I mean, you know.
You okay?
I was.
Did it last more than 4 hours?
Oh, yeah. It's still going on.
Yeah.
It's still going on. I better consult my physician.
I bet.
But, no, I mean, I have to say, though, that a lot of it was the offensive line.
Well,
I mean, most. I mean, he yeah. was.
Well,
he
next
was,
time you get, the, you know, Pro Football Focus said that 100 of his yards came after contact. Anytime you get 100 yards before you even get touched.
Right.
I mean, my God.
Yeah.
That was just. That was men against boys. That was dominance, as
they were,
I said.
They were opening up holes. He was running through them. I think that, you know, a more experienced back, a more confident back would have had even more yards because a lot of times he'd come through the hole, and I think he was so surprised he wasn't touched that he'd be stumbling because he expected the contact.
Looking for someone to hit.
Right. He didn't get it. But great night for him. Great night for the offensive line. I was really impressed with Gray down in the goal line because a lot of times there he did get hit early and fought and made his way over the goal line. So
I thought he was terrific.
Yeah, just
your guy, Freddie. You've been the big leader.
And look, I don't want to jinx him or anything, but when he's carrying the ball, don't you like you're not even thinking about fumbling the way he carries it. I mean, his arms.
I got to be honest with you. I don't ever think about a running back fumbling the ball.
Oh, I do.
I don't. I don't. Even when Ridley, I mean, I think Ridley probably 38 carries in there, he might have lost one of them. But I don't ever think of it as he's running the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he's going to fumble here. The only time I get worried about it during a play is when, like, usually a receiver is breaking into the clear and you see a guy's chasing him from behind.
Yeah.
And you're like, cover the ball, cover the ball.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if he knows that that strip is coming.
Another thing that has continued to develop, and we saw more of it in this game, was Brandon LaFell opening up the sideline. Now, both plays, you know, the two that I'm thinking of, they were back shoulder, you know, throws, and he was well covered. But Brady was pinpoint with the accuracy, and LaFell, you know, turned just in time and really was the only person that could have made the catch in both. But that's something that the Patriots have not been successful over the last few years.
Well, the first one came on, and it's funny that you mentioned this because Andy and I, that's why Andy's a little late. We're working on our Take Tuesday, and the play we came up with, Andy's putting it together, is 3rd and 6 in the third quarter, right after the Colts had kicked a field goal to make it 21-13. So, you know, halfway through the third quarter, it's still a game. It's one touchdown. And really, the Colts had moved the ball. The Colts moved the ball pretty effectively all night. But like I said, you're not going to completely shut anyone down that has a good offense like that. So the game was still in doubt, 3rd and 6, and he threw the first of those two plays that you're talking about to LaFell, Freddie. And I disagree a little bit. I think that that catch by LaFell was unbelievable. That was in danger of getting picked off. He was covered that well. Both guys got their hands on it. LaFell just won the battle. The second one, the timing was incredible. And when LaFell turned around, Vontae Davis was right there, and he was looking back, but the ball took him away from the coverage, and the pass was pinpoint from Brady on the second one. The timing was impeccable on both of them from LaFell and Brady. Two huge plays. Now, LaFell didn't do much in the game.
No.
But when he was asked to do something, he made big plays. You have to punt the ball there, 3rd and 6, halfway through the third quarter, all of a sudden, hey, maybe Indy goes down, gets another field goal, gets within 21-16 or a touchdown, and it's 21-20, and, you know, who knows how the rest of the game. Maybe you're not as willing to just continue to pound away. And when you run the football as much as it's as successfully as the Patriots did, Freddie, once in a while you're going to face a third down because, I'm sorry, even the greatest running night, you're going to get stopped.
Right.
You know, it's going to be a 4-yard gain instead of an 8-yard gain. So now you got 3rd and 6 instead of 3rd and 2. You know, we talked a lot about this, and I'm sort of all over the map on this, but if you can't complete those passes in those big times, it's hard to continue to run.
Right.
Bill talks about this all the time.
Sure.
We lost our opportunities to run because we weren't converting on third down. Well, the other night, I think they were, I want to say, 9 for 12. 9 for 12 on third down the other night. And the reason that you're doing that is because you're winning first down and you're running the ball and all the cliches you want to throw out there. But I agree with you about LaFell. Long answer to your short observation. LaFell, I thought, Didn't do a ton in the game, but when he was called on, he made really big plays.
Other superlatives, I thought, Hightower, I thought, had a really good game. I thought Jamie Collins played better than he has. I think
you obviously read my random thoughts after the game.
I haven't.
I applaud you for that.
Yeah. I think the two of them were key to the defense doing well, and I think they both showed up in this game.
They were both outstanding.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know what the simple answer is, but their ability to stop the run without any extra personnel, and it's, you know, I know that Indy's not a great rushing offense, but still, 14 carries for 4 yards with their two running backs?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So it is.
That's shutting down. Getting it completely shut down. And that was the difference in the game. The Patriots' ability to run the ball and the Colts' inability to run it at all, I think, was the difference in the game.
Yep. So a lot of good stuff. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Sergio Brown, according to him, had a really nice game. Putting the straps on Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, and I know you agreed with him.
I agree that I thought the Colts did a pretty good job, bracketing Gronkowski. And when Brady looked down, he wasn't he wasn't an option. He with better options, but
and I agree with you on that.
But it wasn't
Sergio
Brown didn't do it.
It wasn't a Gronk game.
Yeah,
that's I agree with you. They only threw the ball to him 5 times. They completed 4 of them. So I agree that he wasn't a big part of the offense, but my God, when you're running the ball like that, why would you even be worrying about anything else?
Sure, and I think that part of the attention on Gronk helped the running game. I think they probably used a linebacker on every once in a while that could have
been. Gronk was a big part of the running game, period, with his blocking.
Right, and his blocking too. So I really think that. They made a conscious decision. We're not going to let Gronk beat us, which is fine. I think any team that decides this player A isn't going to beat us can do what they have to do to make sure. But at what expense? What's the price you have to pay?
Well, to your point about Sergio Brown, and I guess this is because just to let everybody know, Fred and I had a little disagreement about this off air. My contention was when you run the ball like that, You don't have any need. I mean, they only threw the ball 30 times. You don't have any need to sort of worry about where the ball's going and whatnot. I understand that they probably did do a good job, and I agree that was probably their motive going in, is we're not going to let Gronk beat us, and that's true. And they didn't, because Gronk didn't beat them. And the passing game was not good the other night. It was not one of Brady's better games. I thought even some of the passes that they did connect on didn't sort of look the same way they normally do. I think Brady was not one of Brady's better games, which this speaks volumes, by the way, that you can win a game on the road 42-20 and your quarterback was probably not great,
right,
in the game. I just feel like most teams that if they had stopped the run a little bit better and then Brady was forced to throw the ball more, I want to see what happens then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not willing to sit there and say, well, Indy, I'll tell you, they did a good job with the and pass defense. I give them the edge. The other night, they had the edge when the Patriots threw the ball. They forced a couple of turnovers, and the Patriots don't ever turn the ball over. And they didn't really allow Gronk to control the game. They didn't.
Going in, weren't the Colts the leaders in sacks?
Sacks?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No? Why do I think they were? Or
I can look it up as you're talking, but I don't. The Colts, and I talked about this a lot during the course of the week. Defensively, the Colts had some good numbers that I just didn't understand. And now, they are what I thought they were in my mind after watching them, is a smaller front that's going to get pushed around. And my guess is teams can't run the ball against them because, they're usually behind.
Right.
And I know that they're not a good run defense.
Well, it's funny because Robert Kraft said or somebody said that Robert Kraft went up to Jonas Gray on Saturday and told him, you're going to have, or maybe Friday, I don't know, but said, you're going to have a big game. This is going to be a big game for you. And, Robert Kraft just doesn't make this stuff up. So somebody on the Patriots who were looking and scouting and coming up with the game plan must have told him, we think we can take advantage of them on the ground. So to me, it was obvious that the Patriots knew that was something they could take advantage of, and somebody told Robert Kraft at some point, and he told Jonas Gray, and lo and behold, that's exactly what happened.
Indy is 15th out of 16 in the AFC in rushing yards per play. Like, so the average per
right.
rush.
Yep.
So that's the telltale sign. That's the stat, not the yards allowed, because the yards allowed could be a product of what you're talking about. The Colts can have the lead, and the other team can't throw the can't run the ball consistently, but they're middle of the pack, even with total yards. They're 10th, but 15th out of 16 teams in per play. So
is that
that's
after
bad.
This game? Or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was only one game out of 10.
Well, but it's a lot of yards, you know,
for a bad team. This is what bad teams allow.
Yeah,
that's what bad rush defenses allow. Before you jump on that, the Colts are not a bad team. They are a bad rush defense.
All right. Where's it? Andy's doing his thing?
He was trying to get something posted before he came down.
Oh, okay. And then Eric, a lot of vitriol against Eric.
Well, did he picked against them again?
Oh,
did
yeah.
he not?
Yeah. Well, we want him to at this point. Fans are asking that.
And I'm not sitting here telling you I'm perfect. I picked him to lose to Cincinnati, and I picked him to lose the next week to Buffalo. Back-to-back weeks, I picked him to lose. But, you know, at some point, you sit there and you say, you know what? I was wrong. So you have to analyze the game each week and analyze what you think you might have seen that's causing you to change. It happened against Cincinnati. In retrospect, it happened against Cincinnati in the very first drive of the game. They went right down the field. The offense was totally different. I wanted to see it again against Buffalo before I was convinced. I wanted to make sure it wasn't a one-time thing. Once I saw it twice, Freddie, I didn't need to see it over and over and over again. I knew the offense had changed from what we had seen in the first month.
Right.
So banging your head against the cement wall just to be a tough guy and say I'm picking against the Patriots
makes
no sense.
It's an emotional thing, too.
Makes no sense.
I think. Lots of memes going around.
Memes.
That's the word of the day on PFW in progress.
Just so you know, that word has jumped the shark in about 3 days.
Yeah. But a lot of it with me and my love for Jonas Gray, which that's fine. I'm happy to have him out there. But I thought the best one was you – thinking of Bledsoe and Andy
like
thinking of
one.
Gronk and me and Gray and Eric thinking of himself. That was a great.
Yeah, they're middle of the pack in sacks, by the way.
Yeah.
The Colts.
Oh, I don't know why I thought they were high. Anyway. All right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's see. Ben Tate got released today. A lot of people are clamoring. Maybe Patriots should bring him in for a look. I'm not against that. I'm not opposed to that. I think Ben Tate's a pretty good runner.
I do, too, yeah. But I'm surprised that you would want that. You have Jonas Gray.
Well, I think Tate might be a little bit more of a big playback. Again, I think I love what Gray did. I saw it in him in preseason, and I'm glad that what I saw was true. But I also know his limitations. And a guy like Ben Tate, you know, he can take it to the house.
I don't know how good Ben Tate is, but I
thought it's pretty good behind Foster. I thought for a while he was like getting as many yards as Foster was.
No, he wasn't.
That one year.
Maybe when Foster was out.
Well, I mean, but he would come in and he would average like 5-6 yards
a
carry.
He's not as good as Arian Foster. I mean, let's not make Ben Tate out to anything more than he is. What I want to know is why he got cut.
Well, supposedly I heard he was just complaining.
Supposedly there's a story. It was discipline kind of stuff. And that's discipline.
Right.
If he's complaining about his role, they're not going to give the ball to him 38 times a game like they did the other night.
Right.
I mean, Jonas Gray knows that he's not getting it 38 times Sunday against Detroit, right?
Yep.
I mean, would you agree with that?
Sure.
So you need to be, you know, accepting of your role around here too. I would take Ben Tate because I think they need another running back, but not if he's going to be all pissy. Same with LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
Which
all right.
Supposedly he could be on the way out in Pittsburgh.
Emails are pouring in here, so we get complaints that we don't take enough emails, so let's do some of those right now. Bill from Manhattan writes in, I know we always criticize Bill the GM and his draft pick misses, and deservedly so, but we have to give him credit for the free agent pickups this year. Brandon LaFell is exactly the kind of receiver that Brady needed. He's big, tough, reliable. A good route runner, dangerous after the catch. Revis is an amazing chess piece for Bill. It allows him to take out any receiver he wants. And although Brandon Browner can get exposed sometimes in coverage, he brings a tough attitude and some fire to the defense that was lost with Spikes and Tlaib departing last year. We also need to give Bill credit for his trades. Akeem Ayers is a contributor, and Tim Wright catches everything that Brady throws his way. GM Bill, although still a very poor drafter of talent, is a master at picking up good pieces cheap. Okay.
I like the fact that they identified players and they spent some money on them. And I would say specifically Revis, Brown, or LaFell. And that's what I liked about the free agent. We didn't try to, like, get the diamonds in the rough. We didn't try to, you know, outsmart everybody. We got players that, you know, you got players that were established NFL players, not special teamers in other places. And we think we can put a bigger role on them here. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And listen, I didn't think that I thought LaFell, I didn't think LaFell was as good as he's been the last, you know, I'd say 6 weeks. Although it's kind of, you know, he had that one big game where he had 11 catches. Otherwise, he's sort of been about what he's been, you know, a 50 catch guy. He's been better with the ball in his hands after the catch than I remember in Carolina. Solid free agent pickup. We all liked that pickup at the time. We didn't love it. You, in particular, wanted Emmanuel Sanders.
Sure.
And you could have spent a little bit more on Emmanuel Sanders, and that would have been fine. Yeah. Totally different kind of player, though.
Right.
And I'm not sure that the emailer is wrong. The way he described that, exactly the kind of receiver that Brady needed on the outside, I agree with that.
Yeah,
they needed a guy outside the numbers. Emmanuel Sanders is more of a slot guy.
Right, and I like Sanders. You know, I thought he might be able to stretch the field. But, yes, he is more of a middle-of-the-field guy.
Revis, you pay $16 million for, you know, listen, I think he's cost $12 million this year. I mean, that's – you pay for talent. And I think that that has completely helped the rest of the secondary. I still don't get the whole Browner phenomenon, but I have no problem with the signing because you identified a need and a talent and you went out and paid for it.
Yeah. LaFell, I mean, we kind of knew what he was, or we saw what he did against the Patriots in Carolina. He was, you know, pretty good receiver, but, you know, the way he's using his body now and the strength of his hands and battling for balls, that's the part of the game I didn't know about and very, very pleased with it. Very pleased. And he's not dropping the ball right now, which is one of the criticisms, you know, some Panthers fans had on him that, you know, he was good sometimes, but he had too many drops. And right now he's really reliable, you know, great pickup, really gives that different element to the offense that Brady didn't have before. Charlotta writes in, what a great win in more sense than one. I love that we're able to be balanced. It was nice to see that even though Brady didn't have 100% outing, others stepped up. And Revis on his island, talk about shutting it down. Impressive. I can't remember seeing Bronk so pissed off ever. Jacked up, energized, sure, but not like that. Sergio Brown must have talked copious amounts of trash in order for him to throw him out of the club, which, by the way, is a 15-yard penalty I'll take any day of the week. Yeah, I know there were things that were less than perfect, but I'll leave that to the pessimists. And, Fred, sniff away. You've earned it. We're on to Detroit. So, Andy's here.
I don't have a lot of things picking at this game. I really don't. I mean, I recognize that there were some issues, but I don't have a lot of – when you control good teams the way they have the last two games for the better part of 60 minutes, I'm sorry, you're not going to just, for 60 minutes, wire-to-wire,
right,
destroy other good teams.
No. Nope.
But when you – I think that they've been in control of games, would you say, for like 45 of the 60 minutes the last 2 weeks, maybe more?
Sure.
I mean, I think that's pretty impressive, and that's Andy.
Is this where I chime in with the nitpicks, or do we save that for the next show?
I think we could save it to the next show, okay. Unless you really have some.
Eh, I'm still not sold on Brandon Browner.
Yeah, well, I talked about that.
I still think he could be the fatal flaw. I've moved. I thought it was going to be the safety position. I think he could be the fatal flaw. I think somebody could attack him, make a couple big plays. Andrew Luck missed on an opportunity for a big play that could have changed that
game.
Is
he any worse than any other second cornerback on other teams?
Here we go. It's always got to get compared to the other teams.
Well, yeah. Well,
and I don't even care because I'm just comparing it to the Patriots.
I'm just
I wonder if he's any worse than Alphonso Dennard that we've seen play for X number of years.
Well, you should be asking about Malcolm Butler because
Alphonso Dennard isn't
even on the field.
Because I haven't seen Malcolm Butler play or not, and I don't give a rat's ass what Bill Belichick thinks. I'm talking about my opinion. My opinion of Alphonso Dennard and what I've seen from him in two-plus seasons is he is a better coverage player than Brandon Browner.
Well, wait a minute. You don't care what Belichick Belichick thing?
I don't, because I don't know what he thinks,
I
and
know,
I don't see what's at practice.
We can see the actions that something has happened with Alphonso Dennard.
No,
yes,
because
yes,
he could be taking into account special teams and the kicking game and Butler's role there. I am taking into account the ability to cover another receiver. I have seen Browner do it now for a month. I've seen Dennard do it for 2+ seasons. That's what I'm basing it on. In the same basic role. Alphonso Dennard has been your two and at times your number one corner on a football field.
By necessity.
It's not fair to me to take into things that I don't know. I can't see.
I understand
that. I can only base it on what I see.
So you really think just from what you saw that Dennard is that much better than Browner?
I'm believing that. I think if Browner doesn't get his hands on the guy at the line of scrimmage, it's game, set, match. And if you give up those big plays in the postseason, it can change games. Well, and I have my doubts about him.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it, when you take in all those other things that you're talking about, special teams and all that stuff, maybe Dennard is the first guy active if Browner ever got hurt.
I think that's a possibility.
But
I don't know the story, so I really have no idea.
Yeah,
but,
I don't get the whole thing.
I don't either, but
I'm not going to break down the
depth
chart.
I thought Dennard was, you know, with Browner in here, would he be your number three corner and just makes you deeper, and it's just a domino, you know, it's just a trickle down. Everyone just gets
I can understand them thinking that Arrington and to a lesser extent Ryan are better options inside. So in other words, it's not necessarily three.
Right.
Dennard might still be three, but
on the outside.
On the outside.
Yeah.
Right.
Three on the outside.
And so we don't
I can understand.
But he also might be three on the inside.
What I can't figure out is why Butler is dressing over Dennard. And to piggyback on that point a little bit, you know, we go to the whole four down thing. Maybe they don't want Dennard and fourth. Well, Butler took over some of Don Jones' responsibilities the other night. Andy and I briefly talked about this early in the game. That was one of the weaker special teams games they've had.
It was.
The other night. It just didn't come in. It wasn't a big part of the game. They got nothing at all, not even a sniff on punt returns. Part of that is because Butler is out there trying to be a vice guy, and he had no success at it. So if he's not great on special teams, why is he dressing over Dennard? Now, I don't know the answer to that. To Andy's point, I can't sit there and say, well, that's what Belichick – I don't know what Belichick's thinking. So I can't necessarily just look at what Bill is saying and saying, well, that's right. I look at it and say, I saw Dennard cover guys more competitively than Malcolm Butler has, and I think to a level higher than Brandon Browner has. Now, he doesn't hit like Brandon Browner. Maybe he wants that physicality, fine. But I don't understand why Dennard's on the bench. Number three behind Browner, okay. But I don't understand why he's on the bench, inactive.
Yeah, I don't – I thought Dennard started games, but by necessity, you know.
I thought he was all right.
I thought he was okay. But I'm not so down on Browner that I don't think that Browner's probably about the same. And maybe he's a little bit bigger and, like Paul said, maybe a little bit more physical.
Oh, he certainly is bigger and more physical.
And I'll play him because
of that. Inside of 5 yards, he wins the down. But when he loses, I feels like he could lose big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
But I'll play him because of that stuff.
Sure.
If you want to sell me on that. Listen, it's you're going to give up some plays, but it's worth it because it puts another thought in. I haven't seen a big hit like that would discourage a receiver. He's a physical player.
Right.
In that he mauls you. But
right.
I'm talking about intimidating kind of hits.
No,
I haven't really seen that.
Yeah, I don't think he's like a Ronnie Lott type hitter.
Okay, but I'll allow for you to say, well, that's why he plays. But I'm fine with that. I just don't get why Dennard doesn't play, period.
Yeah.
That I haven't figured out. But that is, as Andy started off the whole thing, that's a pretty good nitpick because the defense played outstanding.
I mean, did Dennard play special teams? He played special teams when he a little bit, right?
I assume. I've seen him on the field. I don't know what role, minor role, major role.
I don't think he's a big special teams guy, but you know, I'm not saying he doesn't play at all.
But you
those
might be
the
right,
positions
Brett.
That do.
He might, if Browner went down with an injury, Dennard might be first man up.
That would be my guess.
He might be three on the outside and three on the inside, and if you're third at both, then you're not playing.
Right.
Until you're needed.
Right. It could be.
And maybe they do think that Butler's better than him on special teams, and that's why Butler's getting that last spot. That's why I brought up the whole situation the other night.
Don Jones.
It could be as simple as that.
We're a place where we focus on special teamers, and the guy that we've talked about as like second only to Matthew Slater, and we've all been impressed by him, suddenly is inactive. once you figure out the rules of the game, once you think you have the answers, I change the questions.
Rowdy Piper.
It's like Bill does that. Okay, Bill, we know you like kicking game players, so Don Jones. Wait, why is Don Jones not playing? He changed the rules again.
Mark in Fall River, great show as always. After reading Sergio Brown's tweets, if the Patriots and Colts play in the playoffs, there are two names that he needs to know, Anthony Smith and Freddie Mitchell, because in these parts, those three names will always be brought up in the same sentence. Yeah, he's enemy number one here, right?
Well, he could be. I mean, he kind of wussed out and then deleted all the tweets, which I don't really understand.
Well, coach probably told him to do it.
Yeah, but I don't need, in this day and age, it's out there. You're not going to remove it from the landscape. People know it's out there, and he didn't say anything like overly bad, offensive, racial, or anything. Well, I don't think he said anything racial. I guess some people think he said something racial with the boy comment, but I just don't understand. Just stick with it. Say you owned Gronkowski, that his success came against others, and you'll own him again. Man up.
Right. And don't reply to all the tweets that come in.
Right.
Because that's where you get into trouble.
Right. But I will say, and you brought this up, you know, maybe it's a way, you know, I've talked about taking a dive, you know, the first time he gives you a shoulder to take a dive and see if you can draw a penalty, and maybe that takes Gronk out of his game. Maybe getting in his head and getting him too emotional is the
next step. Yeah, the last thing you want as a player is to have a reputation of, you know, we're able to get in his head.
Right.
Now we got to test that.
And we haven't seen it much. I mean, he's now been here a long time, and I don't think I've seen his energy level in that way. And that makes me figure that Brown was saying stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll snap your arm again if you come near me or something that set Gronk off.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't see Gronk set off too often.
No. John writes in now in the post-game show, the Xbox One post-game show.
Highly rated Xbox One post-game
show. Was there a lot of talk about Brady not being good? John from L.A.
Well, he was on the bad.
Yeah.
We have the good, the bad, and the injured, and he was in the bad.
And we didn't have too many bads.
And we only had two. We usually have three of each. We couldn't come up with any more.
Brady played well in the first half last night. A couple of terrible interceptions, other passes off the mark. But this idea that he had a horrible game is insane.
Well, we didn't say horrible.
We didn't say he had a horrible game.
We put him on the bad.
He said
he did not play well in the first half. He played bad in the first half.
No, and guess what?
He played well in the second
half. If Darrell Revis has a couple bad plays and he gives up 80-yard touchdowns, then he didn't play very well. That's the nature of the beast when you're an NFL player, a quarterback, and DB in some of those positions.
He says Bertrand was over the top about it on the post-game show. It was ludicrous, and I say this as someone who generally likes the guy.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think he listened very well to the show.
In the second half,
Bertrand was actually the opposite. He was killing luck.
In the second half, the offense had four drives plus the end of the game drive by Jimmy G. They resulted in four touchdowns, three of which were sustained 80-yard drives. We didn't punt in the second half. While the offensive line and Gray were phenomenal and deserve the heaps of praise they are receiving, Brady was far better in the second half and looked pretty much exactly like the 12 we know and love. I realize it's an easy, semi-interesting topic to make hay out of, but Brady didn't play badly. He had a poor first half. There's a difference.
And don't pretend we tried to make hay out of it. We do the good, the bad, and the injured every single game. And in our opinion, Brady wasn't good. Brady wasn't at the level of which he had been
the
last five.
The very last line of that email is he had a poor first half. There's a difference.
Right.
So we all agree.
Okay.
Move on. Right. We all agree.
That's the 98.5, Paul, there. Move on.
He had a poor... No, well, we just had a whole email to explain how we were wrong, and then the last line, he said exactly what we said.
Did he really explain how we were wrong, though?
Because
he said...
That's what I'm saying.
We all had all these long drives.
Well, I don't know what...
Did Jonas Gray not...
They had all long drives because they handed the ball off and ran the ball right down the teeth of Indianapolis.
I don't know
what
Bertrand
said. They could not stop it.
You guys...
He didn't say anything.
He wasn't ludicrous?
No.
For the game...
He was ludicrous on the pregame show saying Andrew Luck doesn't deserve to be talked about the way he's being, all this stuff.
I mean,
he was not ludicrous about Brady in any way.
You tell me. I mean, I understand that the stat of passer rating is a flawed one, okay? But if you're using it to compare apples to apples, right? He has a passer rating of 102 for the season. In the game, it was 85. So you tell me how well he played in the game. Forget quarters, halves, plays, drives. He had an 85 passer rating for the game. So for him, that was below average, right?
Right.
Decline. And in the first half, he was particularly bad.
Yeah.
And he put the game in peril temporarily with a ridiculously bad interception.
Yeah, that was terrible.
I was just watching a replay of the Minnesota game, and they ran a fake punt. Have you ever noticed on those trick plays, when they work, you say, why don't they do that more often? It looks so easy. And when they don't work, you say, what an idiot. That looked horrific. Like, yeah. It's so funny the way they unfit. They just ran a little, almost like a zone read off a fake punt with the up back. And it looks so easy. And
I'm trying to think. I saw someone fake a punt over the weekend, and it was a long yardage situation late in the game. Oh, it was Virginia Tech and Duke. And Virginia Tech had a one-point lead. They had the ball. It was like 4th and 18 from about their own 45-yard line, and they snapped it to the upback, and he ran around the end. And then he ended up having to pass it, and they got like 8 yards. I mean, it was not even close to a first down. And it was like 3 minutes left in the game, up by one. I mean, everything about it screams like, what are you thinking?
Right.
You know, the spot on the field, the time of the game, the yardage necessary. It was ridiculous.
But there may be
and
no
they got
play.
Away with it because
there may be no play that's more genius or goat than those fakes. You if it works, you look great, and if it doesn't, you usually
it reminds
look bad.
Me. I want to not at some point, I want to talk about what you guys were all upset about with Brian Kelly. In the Notre Dame.
Oh, my God.
You guys were going crazy.
You mean the worst coach in the history of coaching?
You're blowing up my texting.
Why don't you get some, we'll get some emails and calls in, and then maybe in the second segment.
Tyler from New York. Alan Branch looked
horrific coaching.
Looked pretty good when he was out there. Like seeing him fight until the whistle every down. Do you think he should be getting more snaps?
No, but I do think he played well.
You know what I liked and Paul probably didn't like is on the tackle. Where he landed on, I don't even know whether it was Bradshaw. I think it was Bradshaw. And he like threw his arm. He had a little edge to him. I think our defensive front in the running game could use a little edge.
Yeah, I thought he was part of what they did defensively against the run. I don't want him playing a lot of snaps.
No,
but,
nor does he probably because he'll probably start sucking wind.
When he's out there, I want him taking up space. And I thought that Casey Walker got moved around a lot. So he wasn't taking up space. So I think that that's been a good change there.
Branch takes up a lot more space.
I don't want him playing too much, much more than
that. Did you guys know that Jonas Gray is going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, he was telling me.
Retweeted that very early this morning. Yeah. Long
what do you think
you
about that?
I think it's great for him.
For him, yeah.
Now, I wonder if they made that decision before Le'Veon Bell rushed for 200. But, no, I think that's great. I think that's just cool. I mean, that's why you like sports. Jonas freaking Gray is on the cover of Sports Illustrated because he did something that no one had done since Hunter Hurfemeyer or something in 1921. You know, no career touchdowns to have 4 touchdowns in a game. He kicked ass, he took names, and Fred Kirsch predicted it.
Rob's.
I didn't even know any of that stuff you just said. Oh, my God.
What's wrong with you?
I have a digestive problem.
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
I had my physical yesterday, and the woman goes, so how's the IBS? So
I... I just made
Spray
Andy throw
it right
up.
In my mouth.
Good.
Save that tape, by the way. But she asked me, like, you know, how are the issues, the diarrhea, you know, whatever. And then she goes, how about the constipation? I go, lady, I've never been constipated a day in my life. You really did just spray that right in my mouth.
Good. Because, you know, you spray in our mouths all the time.
I smell a bit coming.
I'm not comfortable with that at all.
Robzilla writes in. I wanted to
Robzilla?
Yeah.
Is that Gronk?
I don't know. I wanted
you can't
to
name yourself.
Yes, sure you can.
Right, you're the wrong person to talk to, Jake.
I don't know. Jake Steele.
I wanted to discuss Eric's comments from Thursday's show. He was boasting about how he's been right about the Patriots not winning any Super Bowls since he's been here.
I know, it was really embarrassing.
The problem I have is that it's not that impressive of a feat to pick who isn't going to win at all when you've got over a 96% chance, 31 out of 32,
correct,
of being right.
He takes the field every year.
He takes the field, he does.
Another problem.
Right again.
Another problem is that if he were being consistent with his assertion that the window was closed, then he should have picked them against them in Super Bowl 42 and 46, but he didn't. We're supposed to ignore.
Another good point.
We're supposed to ignore what he got wrong, but count the correct predictions. They have a term for this, survivorship bias. Not including the misses into your average is intellectually dishonest. But to be fair, the rest of you guys do it a little too.
I was going to say, it's called Andy's draft analysis.
Oh, come on, everybody. Everybody tends to focus on the things that they get right. And
Eric lost
over
all credibility earlier this season when he concluded that Tim Wright had been cut, despite some other reporters saying that they spotted him at practice.
He did. That was the day he said, they always turn to me when there's some sort of a dispute.
Right.
Which I don't even want to tell you what Andy and I do in terms of attendance at training camp.
But Paul's right. You show the positive. Whether it's yourself, I mean,
everybody tends to focus on the things that they
analyze. When you get a grade in school, you get a 96. You don't get a 4 wrong.
Right?
They give you the positive, the 96 right.
I just, you know, as someone who's been...
Quinn.
As someone who's been wrong, you know, often, and I have no problem saying it, I don't fixate on the guys that I thought were going to be great. I don't fixate on Kevin O'Connell, who I was extremely high on in the draft.
You know what you do there? So was Bill Belichick.
Then well, you align yourself with other people who are supposedly smarter,
but I don't
who
fixate
are also
on,
really
you know, I don't fixate on Vernon Goldston, who I thought was very good coming out of the draft. I fixate on Muhammad Wilkerson, who I thought was the next Seymour, and he might be better than Seymour.
Don't you think the NFL, in this day and age where everything is about quarterbacks and receivers and fantasy points and 50 points, don't you think they should take J.J. Watt and Rob Gronkowski and put together a marketing campaign? For those of us that, you know, maybe don't like that, maybe don't like the wussification of the game and it's all Brady and it's all Manning, because those two guys are as fun to watch as any two men in football. They are violent, physical, entertaining, hardworking. I know you get in trouble when you put guys up on pedestals because then they go out and do something that makes you regret it, but if I were the NFL, I'd be taking J.J. Watt and Rob Gronkowski and putting together, you might want to. I want to find a black guy to put in there too, but so you don't get accused of being racist.
Nah,
but
I mean,
don't you think they could be a different marketing campaign than just the fantasy stats?
Sure.
And the, even though Gronk is sort of just the physical, the
yeah,
they're old school football players.
Yeah.
They're bloody lips. They're knee braces on their arm, as Felger would say. They're old school.
Right. It's really amazing. Yeah. It's just amazing.
What?
Like his endless love has no bounds.
But Paul, it's because that's what I like.
I believe me, you've made it abundantly clear the last 4 years.
If a fullback came along that could in some way be as relevant as Rob Gronkowski, I would love that guy just as much.
I get it.
Look, when I was a kid, it was all about Larry Zonka and, you know, Jack Lambert.
I watched a little of that
middle linebackers. You know, that's what I like.
Right.
You know, the horse collar that they would wear. I was all about that too. I love John Riggins, watching him run. That was good stuff.
I think it would be a good campaign for them. Tell somebody when you go to one of those meetings, that you pretend to rub elbows with all the big wigs. Tell them good marketing campaign.
Stinky in Florida.
Stinky.
We talked about Sanders. He doesn't think he's a slot guy. He says I may be crazy, but in the Broncos game I've watched, he's used on the outside and has. Used a lot in vertical routes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Slot guy does not prohibit vertical routes.
No.
He's a vertical slot guy.
Yeah.
He's like Victor Cruz.
Right. He also.
When was the last, you know, how many times? I shouldn't say when was the last time because I'm sure people have examples, but he doesn't catch the ball outside the numbers all that often.
Right. He also says, what do you think of Browner? From what I remember, he looked like he did not belong on the field. He was not even close to his receiver most of the night.
He had a tough day. I thought that early on, Reggie Wayne, who only because he's so slow, didn't break that one for a touchdown early in the game. Then they had to make a change, and they went and they put Revis on him, completely took Reggie Wayne out. But in doing so, they bracketed Hilton with other guys, and they left Browner on Cody Fleener and – Fleener just killed him.
Yeah.
And Fleener's not that good.
Wonder, I mean, if it's true, if the tape does say what Stinky just said, that Browner really wasn't competitive out there, if we see Dennard back in the lineup, you know?
Well, I don't know that that's the case because I think you want Browner out there. He is a unique talent. You just want him to cover better, right? I mean, I think the ideal for this secondary is if Browner and Revis are good. You know, the idea you put together, if you can work it into form, and remember, I still give him a little, you know, it's still 4 games in. Now, I don't know how long I'll say that. You know, 4 games is quarter of an NFL season. But he's still kind of, and I don't even really count the first one. It's kind of 3 games in, because that first one, he was sucking wind so bad, he couldn't focus on anything else other than trying to breathe and get oxygen into his lungs. I just think it's something that bears watching, because to the Tony Mazzes of the world, I think right now the idea of Brandon Browner is better than the execution and what's actually occurring on the football field.
He's physical.
They can cover. I heard him say it like 5 times yesterday.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't see.
That's
purposely.
That's the difference, Mike. They can cover.
I wasn't out, and they had a hard time covering certain guys. Revis can cover.
Well, that's
I
my
have
point.
Not seen This is like,
Paul, you know me. It's Gronk
like
and Hernandez. It's Revis and Browner.
I think this has been like, remember what Tlaib did last year, you know, early in the season. But Revis is doing it every single week, every single game.
I told you guys he was good.
You did, Fred. I have to admit, Fred was on. You know, I liked Muhammad Wilkerson in the draft. Fred really thought after Revis came to the Patriots that Revis was good.
Right.
I got to give it to him.
Stephen Killeen, forget about Brown's crazy comments and Gronk tossing him out of the club a la Michael Orr in Blindside. Edelman's hit that blew up the defender was the shot that I had to rewind and replay several times. Minitron is a bad, bad man, and it was awesome to see the Patriots smash mouth football. 8-2, bring on Detroit, baby.
That was a nice block, but if I'm going to channel my inner Paul Perillo, Edelman was douchey on that play. The first hit was necessary. He hit him again, which was unnecessary.
I don't even know the block that we're talking about.
It was on the Gronk play that you didn't care for, but he comes across. Gronk's starting to pull away, and he decks the guy. Then the guy starts to get up again, and he shoves him again like,
yeah,
all right, you big bag. You blindsided me because I was focused on Gronk. Don't hit me again.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes some of those things, I don't really – the blind shot hits. I didn't see it. I don't know what the play.
Well, it wasn't what I would say blindside, but the guy was focused on tackling Gronk, and Edelman comes across Gronk and takes out the would-be tackler.
Let's get to some phones on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Andrew's in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, Fred?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, nothing. I'm looking at the game again, and I heard y'all saying, or someone said that Brady had a bad first quarter. I think what you see is when he was doing play action, the Colts was getting pressure. And we know Brady doesn't sit well when pressure is coming. He throw the ball early. But what was different was he usually throw the ball to the receiver's feet, but he threw it in the air. And one of them was to Brian Sim going down the field, which he was triple covered. And that's not a coincidence. Obviously, they know Brian Timms is a deep threat. There's three defenders down there, and Brady threw it earlier than he wanted to, and that's why it resulted in a pick. Also to that Gronk play, too, when the pressure was coming. So I think that kind of hurt his passer rate. You know what I mean? And other than that...
Yeah, bad plays.
Right,
They did. You're right.
And you're right also that Brady normally doesn't just throw it up there.
And I think that's why he was mad at himself.
He throws it away.
Throws it right. Yeah, he could throw it away or he could throw it to the ground where the receiver is standing.
And he did it another one, and Fred was actually confused when you said that the triple coverage to Brian Timms, you thought it was Tim Wright because he threw another one that should have been picked
right.
off.
Right, it was like third and four.
Right, that two
and
Colts.
No reason to do that.
Two Colts fought each other for the ball, and otherwise there would have been a third pick in that game.
Right.
Now, I know that throw to Brian Timms, you know, had he had a little bit more time, there's no telling what could happen because you could see Brian Timms kind of like over the top of all three of those guys.
I think he might have run out of field, but I do think he was starting. The only problem is he was basically at the goal line when he was starting to get by.
I think that's why he was sort of drifting to the back.
If this had been Tecmo and they backed up another 10 yards and he had a little more field, then I think Timms
and
might have been gaining an
advantage. And I also, Andrew, would be more willing if there were only one Colt there.
It's Andy.
No, Andrew is on the radio.
Only my mother and wife call me Andrew.
If there was only one guy there, I would have said Timms was working himself open. There were three guys there. It was going to have to be another miracle play like the one he caught against Buffalo.
Right, but, you know, he caught it last time. I'll throw it again.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to try to make a living making those plays.
All right,
plays.
Thanks, Andrew.
You don't like Brady to Timms in triple coverage with regularity?
No. Matter of fact, that's the kind of play that we've been making fun of as the as the cliche stereotype. We're throwing the ball deep to Matthew Slater. You know, in coverage in the AFC Championship game.
This is Brian Timms.
No, I know.
I was very
that's the cliche.
That's why I want Randy Moss, Paul, as I told you on Friday in the Make Your Case.
I was very upset with Timms, though, because, they had this play designed for him, first play of the game, wide open, 20 yards downfield, hits him in the chest. And it's like, listen, son, you know, we're going to do this for you, and you can't blow it. You
Fred
just can't blow
his
that.
Inner Sergio Brown. Listen, boy, if I throw it to you, catch it.
You know, you just can't do that.
Nope.
Dana's in Connecticut, then we'll take a break. What's up, Dana?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Couple things. First of all, can you hear me? If not, I'll change.
Excellent. Oh, no, you're coming in loud and clear.
Excellent.
Crystal clear, accent and all.
All right, Andy, good. I'm crystal clear. I got to talk to you after I make my point because we got a little bone to pick. But first of all, let's start out with the I think you guys are underrating Butler. I think this guy Butler is going to be a star. And I think that obviously the staff, the New England staff realizes that. That's why he is moved ahead on a depth chart. This kid can cover. He's got great skills. He's young. And I think he's going to be a stud. I really do. And I don't know why they don't consider moving Browner to safety. I mean, I know he has that big physicality at the line of scrimmage, which is his asset. But, I mean, I'd like to see him play safety where he can kind of cut the angles down and be physical from that point, too. I don't know why they don't consider that.
Well, we've seen him in that linebacker hybrid safety role quite a bit over the last couple weeks. And so they're trending in that direction as they put these multiple DB sets on the field. The only problem I would say in terms of the true safety situation is you have to be athletic to play safety. You have to be able to move, to use your physicality. At the line, the receiver he's trying to hit is standing right in front of him flat-footed.
And you can direct him. Safety, you have to go either way.
Anyway, it's a 3D position. You're going in all those directions.
Right.
So I don't think it's necessarily easier to get contact on a guy or cover a guy at safety because they're moving.
And I think I think Andy's right. He's playing safety. He's playing like a linebacker-type hybrid.
Right.
That's what he's been playing.
Inside coverage,
Bill would call it.
He gets on an island by himself on the outside. He's so slow. We're gonna get burnt in the playoffs with him on an island there. That's what I'm afraid.
See,
of.
You agree with me?
Where when he's at safety,
he could
still come up and be physical with that tight end and get that chuck and get some inside help. I like Arrington in the slot. I think he's very underrated in the slot. On the outside, he's awful. Denard may have some issues with some personal issues. I know he had some trouble in Nebraska, and I'm wondering if that's part of the issue here with New England. I wonder if his attitude is not really what they're looking for down the road with him.
I don't know. Well, I am not aware of him having attitude problems.
No.
He's had some off-field issues that have certainly been an issue. But I can't just assume because he's not playing here that, you know, he's in a fight or he's a punk or anything.
Right.
That's not fair.
You guys are I'm not making that accusation. I was kind of questioning that because I figured you guys got more of an inside track and you may be able to navigate some of that. I'm just wondering, because I love his cover skills. I think he's a great cover. I think he's next to Revis. I think he's the best cover guy on the team.
I think you're a great caller.
I hate when the callers call in and I have nothing to nitpick.
But I do want to ask you one question before we fight, because I'm sure we're going to fight.
Go ahead.
You love Malcolm Butler. You think he's going to be a star. And I'm not going to rip you. I don't agree with you, but were you concerned with the Broncos game when he was on Emmanuel Sanders and Peyton Manning just said, that's the guy I'm going to, that's the guy I'm going to, that's the guy I'm going to?
Obviously, you're going to go after that guy because, A, Emmanuel Sanders is a stud, and, B, you got a rookie. But I definitely disagree with you. I think this kid's going to be, just like I mentioned Jonas Gray, which I'm going to get to with you in a moment, I think he's going to be a big it factor down the road on this team. I think there's a reason why he's elevated to that position so quickly and in a very vulnerable spot. But I agree with you. Yeah, he did. We're talking about Manning and Sanders here, and the kid's a rookie.
Whoa. We're talking about Manning. I'll give you that phraseology. I'm not just going to give you Emmanuel Sanders. He's not Calvin Johnson. He's having a great year.
Great year, and that's my point. He's having a great year his first year with Manning. Imagine if he was with him the whole time. Obviously, he was underutilized in the system he came from, but this system suits him perfect. All right, let's talk about it. Jonas.
Let's do it. Bring it.
Let's talk. You mocked me, Andy, or I'll call you Andrew if you're mean to me. But Andy, you mocked me when I got off the phone when I told you guys last week before all this, and I was on him from preseason that Jonas was going to be a big time player for this team. He suits this style of running. His running style suits our offensive line because they don't have to really, hold that block. He gets in there so quickly, and I loved his game, and I knew he was going to have a big game against Indy. And Paul, you agreed with me. Moving forward with Detroit, I don't see him being a big factor in this game. I think the factor is going to be Vereen. I think Vereen's going to have a big game against Detroit. They're going to key on Jonas Gray, and they're very physical, Detroit, even without their guy, what's his name, Ferris, or the guy from Auburn who's out.
Fairly,
thank you. You know, they're going to have a tough time duplicating that effort against Detroit. But Jonas Gray, I think he's here for the long term. And I was coming out of my skin when they were talking about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and we're going to bring back, let's get LeGarrette Blount back. I was like, guys, Joe, you got to go.
Wait, so you think he's going to have a better career than both LeGarrette Blount and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
I'm not saying career, Andy, but I'm saying this year he is going to be a factor on this team. And when they're standing in Arizona on that podium after they defeat the NFC champion, which I
preach
hope
it.
The Packers.
Preach
will
it.
Will have absolutely nothing to do with Jonas Gray.
No, that's not true.
Stop,
because he was a...
Tell me Jonas Gray is not going to be a factor in December when we need to run the ball. Yes, he is going to be a factor. He's the perfect back for New England going down the stretch into the playoffs.
I'm not going to give you that, but he is already a factor because I think he was a big factor in winning on Sunday night in Indy. So he's already been a factor.
No, I'm talking about winning a Super Bowl.
No, but, I mean, if you host the AFC title game, he's already been a factor. He's helping you.
No,
Paul says.
Well, you're suggesting he's the difference between winning and losing.
Winning games 51.
I think he was a big reason they won the other night.
He was a contributor to winning.
He was a big contributor.
But now are you going to make the leap and say they would have lost without him?
No, I'm not.
We all agree.
Because I think virtually any back on the team would have rushed for about $145. I'll give him 45 or 50 yards.
Wait a minute. Why isn't Bolden in there then? Why wasn't Vereen rushing?
I hate Bolden, and I think Bolden would have rushed for $100 yesterday. When you're not touched until you're 2 or 3 yards downfield, untouched, you're going to have a successful day.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to tell you. I'll be back. I'm going to call you guys weekly. But when he gets 85 yards against Detroit and a tough 85 in the fourth quarter when they need to move the sticks, you'll be saying, "Well, this Jonas Gray is really coming."
Is there lunch on the line for that?
Ooh.
Paul,
how about lunch on the line? 85 yards against Detroit. I'll take that. I'll take the bet.
You know what? Hey, I'll pick you up on that. I think he's going
to good for you, especially when we don't have to give you anything. I like it.
Well, you know, I liked you before this.
No, right. I actually do remember. I think you were the 136 yard guy, right?
I was the it factor. When I got off the phone, Andy said, "Oh yeah, he's going to improvise. Jonas Gray trying to improvise is a net 3 yard loss. What is this guy coming off?"
Well, and that's true. I stand by that. If he improvises, it's going to go south. What he's doing well right now is hitting the massive hole they're opening for him.
How about 3rd and 3 on the goal line? He improvised. He ducked out of the hole, broke a tackle, and that was a big first down, and they scored the touchdown after that. That's improv. Little subtle moves, moving from the 2 hole to the 3 hole, the 2 hole to the 4 hole, going from guard to tackle hole. He does that well. He's got good vision.
Preach it, Dana.
He hits it hard, I'm telling you.
You've been hitting it hard.
No, we're in the same church, Dana.
Well, you know what? We're in the same pew, and you know what? I'll be preaching this right up until Arizona. When he's standing next to Brady, and you see a little squatty
fighter
next to him, he's going to be standing there, too.
You take Gray, I'll take Gronk.
He's going to cradle that Lombardi trophy in those massive pipes.
And I love it.
Well, Gronk, listen, I'm not an idiot, guys. We start here. The most important factor of this football team is the offensive line. Because when Brady doesn't get time, he loses Super Bowls. That's number one. Okay. Number two, it's Belichick. Number three, it's Brady. Number four, it's Gronk. But you got to have the running game. And we haven't won a Super Bowl since we've had a running game and a defense. And now we got the defense, and I think Jonas Gray is going to be the man.
All right. Thanks, Dana. All right, good Thanks, call Dana. By Dana.
As long
good call.
As everything is in place.
Just
everything
bring
else
it.
Is going good. Brady will be fine.
This
love it.
Just bring. Oh, whoa! Is this a,
love it?
Is this long a shot at Brady now?
As long as the offensive line is doing great and Gronk is dominating, and we have a running game that does well with a bad offensive line. And the defense dominant. Ben Roethlisberger.
No.
He won two titles without an offensive line.
No, that's not true.
That is kind of true.
That's not true.
It is kind of true.
Last night, when I shut the game off, thinking that I was going to get knocked out of the knockout pool, he had already been sacked 6 times.
Yeah. Did you see how long he was holding the ball, for crying out loud? And by the way,
Fred,
that
did you
same
see how many times he just dropped the ball, dropped back and got immediately swarmed by three guys?
And by the
that
way,
game?
That same offensive line was opening massive holes for Le'Veon Bell. So they always have been able to run the ball.
I'm sorry you asked a question, I gave you an answer.
Particularly
if you don't want the answer, don't ask.
You know, they didn't have a bad offensive line. Sometimes they didn't protect Roethlisberger that well, but they always run block very well. especially those Super Bowl years. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back with more of your calls and emails.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep, me could, too.
Which you couldn't call
today.
We
played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then,
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw. You know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
So
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you just because he said it twice doesn't mean it was okay.
And I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it, and I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Are we back on, Kevin? Oh, all right. Back here on PFW Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web
Freddie,
radio at patriots.com.
I think you're going to have a talk with Dana.
Why?
I think he's moving in on your territory.
That's
I
okay.
Think,
stay
I think
away from my man.
He like him some Jonas Gray a little more than you do.
Plenty of room on the bandwagon. Plenty of room.
Well, he deserves
plenty
it.
Of room on his jock.
Sports Illustrated cover boy, he deserves it.
Yeah,
he does.
Good
it's
for
a good
him.
Story. I don't know if it'll be the good story that Dana thinks it's going to be from here to February, but... we'll find out.
Plenty of room.
And what did I didn't get a chance to click on any of it. Did you watch any of his stand-up routine?
Yeah, not good.
So that's what, another thing you guys have in common.
Yeah. No, that's Eric.
No, you're a failed comedian, too.
Am I?
3 days a week on this show. But it wasn't good?
No.
And he really opened up for Screech?
I don't know about
Screech
that.
Screech Powers?
Yeah.
Really?
Who?
Screech Powers from Saved by the Bell?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Dustin Diamond, I believe, is his real name.
Wow.
Well, have you seen his porn?
No. I, unlike you two, I do not gravitate toward male genitalia.
Jonas Gray has porn. All right, let's get back to the phone.
Did you go to the locker room?
No, I didn't.
Are you lying?
No fist bumps for Jonas?
No.
Good game, Jonas.
I was waiting for him by the bus, but I didn't see him.
What you did? You had to get off the postgame show because
creep,
of that.
I was only kidding.
I knew you. We knew you, as you say to us. We know you're kidding.
Let's go to Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. What's up, Big Al? We're going to sit down Brady for the rest of the season?
No, only the Green Bay game.
Green Bay game, okay. That's all.
Just the Green Bay exhibition.
I'll try to make this quick. I know Fred has to catch a flight to New York to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated with Jonas Gray.
Right.
You're coming up on deadline, Fred, so your time's valuable, I understand. And, you know, Fred, he's playing for the minimum. He might not have an agent. You know, this could be your big shot here.
Yeah, I'm not certified yet, but I could be. You're certified.
Probably doesn't take long. Yeah. Probably doesn't take long at all.
Only cost $2,000 and a quick questionnaire, I think.
Yeah.
There you go. Have Andy help you fill it out.
Sure.
Listen, as good a game as he had, you know, that might not be the game plan this week against the Lions. They're a little tougher up front. And if guys, I don't know if you remember that game we played a few years ago at Minnesota. They went in, they were in the Metrodome, and they had a tough.
I remember it. Monday night game. Williamses. I'm going to go 34-7.
There you go. And we just threw a bunch of basically wide receiver screens all night and quick passes.
Yeah. Isn't that like,
you know, 10
years?
It might be something along those lines with the. Totally different than last week, what we do this week.
Oh, yeah. And I thought that was one of the more telling things in the Belichick post game on Patriots.com, where he said, you know, we've shown we can win in a lot of ways. That's what they want to do.
Right. That's October 30th, 2006. It was 31.
Yeah, that was the cover two game where they just refused to get out of cover two.
Yeah, and the first play of the game, they ran the ball right into the middle for nothing, and then they didn't run the ball again. Right.
Wasn't Mike Tomlin the DC?
I believe Mike Tomlin was the defensive coordinator at the time. Tampa 2 team that Brady just picks apart.
The head coach was that dummy with the glasses for Minnesota.
Interesting.
Brad Childress?
Yes, Childress. I don't think he was there.
It might have been him.
I think it was.
You could be right. Yeah. You might, Rabbit.
Listen, I don't know, guys, what you thought about the call that the officials made that where the Patriots thought they had a safety. I think the officials blew that call. I really do.
There's a chance, you know, I now that I've heard a lot of explanation, and I think Bill kind of gave up on it, but I still think that the impetus wasn't caused by the kick of it going into the end zone.
Looked like it was stationary to me.
Yeah, like, you know.
It wasn't a dead ball, it was a live ball.
Right. Right.
It was a stationary ball that to me had no momentum or NFL language impetus. It just was sitting there, and I'm not saying the guy kicked it on purpose. He may have been just trying to make a play and accidentally sort of pooched it into the end zone, but there's no way that ball went in the end zone on its own.
See, I always thought that, like, I knew it was a live ball because it had been touched, but I figured, well, it went into the end zone, and they the Colts recovered it, so it's their ball. It's no safety because no one had gained possession of the ball.
Fred, Andy's making fun of you.
I don't think that's the standard, Fred.
A kickoff's a live ball, no matter if it was touched or not touched. As long as it goes 10 yards, anyone can get it.
But I figured, because the Colts had never gained possession, I figured, okay, you recovered in the end zone. It's a touchback.
I don't know. Maybe it's one of these obscure.
It is an obscure rule, and I didn't. I'll be honest. I didn't know about the rule. And Andy likes the rule. I didn't like it so much. I sort of agree. They kept making that terminology. I heard Bill use it after the game. They said that the impetus of the kick caused the ball to go in the end zone. I agree with Al. I don't believe the impetus of the kick caused the ball to go in the end zone. This is one of those things. There's a rule in the books, but I'm not necessarily sure they got the rule right. I don't like the rule that's in the books that says that if the impetus of the kick causes it to go in the end zone. Now, it's one thing if it goes off a guy's leg and deflects and goes into the end zone. Sure, touchback. But a guy fielded the ball and caused it to, like Al said, to stop.
That ball stopped.
And then they knocked it into the end zone. I don't think he knocked it into the end zone on purpose, but... Be that as it may, it went into the end zone because a guy mishandled it.
Right, right.
Not because it like deflected off a guy's leg or it was one of those line drive strip kicks.
I thought it should have been a touchback.
It was. I wasn't even thinking safety.
But, you know, that was the second time in that game where Gostkowski had tried that kind of kick. And I like that kick. I think that's a good maneuver, the sort of the topspin forehand, you know, tennis thing or whatever where it dives down and makes a crazy hop or hits somebody.
I don't.
I think that's
do you
a
like
good
those?
Tactic. we might see that again, is what I'm saying.
Well, why wouldn't you just kick it into the... To me, only a bad thing can happen there. I mean, if he fields it, they're all of a sudden going to get good field position. If he doesn't field it, it's more... 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a touchback. Why not just kick it into the end zone where 10 times out of 10, it's a touchback?
Are they practicing for when they can't just kick it through the end zone?
Probably.
Well, the thing is, Paul, if you notice, that ball wasn't... They weren't... Even if they... It's kicked so hard at them, they're not going to try to field it.
Right, so it's going to be a touchback. So why not just kick it through the end zone like he does every other time?
Well, I think that they're seeing, if just experimenting to see if they can get it to either cause a fumble or, you know, I don't think you're going to give up good field position on a play like that.
I think you could.
They catch it.
But I think you could. If you kick the ball really hard and it goes right to a guy on the 10-yard line, I think he can get up to the 30.
Well, you know, we'll see. I think it's worth taking that gamble. Steve's that good at it, I think. The both times that he did it, I don't think he made a mistake either time. And the second time, like I say, I think we really should have gotten that safety. But the point is, it's capable of happening again. And it's not like a one-time deal. I'd like to see the league and the officials nail that down for the next time, because I really think they blew it last time.
I think they also blew the call in Arizona.
All right, thanks, Al.
You probably didn't see this, Freddie. During the pregame show, Detroit and Arizona were playing. There was a ball. Guy for the Cardinals made a great special teams play, went down, grabbed it with two hands, with his 2 feet on the ground. His momentum was going to take him into the end zone, so he threw it back. And the ball got kicked around a little bit by the Cardinals, and very alertly, Jeremy Ross from Detroit came in, picked it up, knowing that the kicking team had already touched the ball, so it's a free ball. He can't fumble. He could have run 90 yards and been stripped at the 5-yard line, lost the ball, it still wouldn't have been a fumble. So he picks it up and actually ran 46 yards down the sideline. Bruce Arians challenged the play, saying the ball was down at the one. I didn't know if he was challenging that his player was in the end zone and it should have been a touchback or what he was challenging. But evidently the rule was, and this is what Dean Blandino officially stated, by possessing the ball with 2 feet on the ground in the field of play, that's considered down. So that's where the ball was spotted. To which I would say, so you're telling me I'm supposed to believe that if that guy for Arizona wasn't able to alertly throw the ball back into play and he fell into the end zone, you weren't going to call it a touchback because he had his 2 feet on the 1 yard line?
Right, right.
There is no chance in hell that they were going to call that down at the one, right. Had that guy fallen
the
into the end zone.
Play hadn't ended, right.
There's no way in hell they were going to call that.
I didn't buy the call.
Down at the one. And they got to Pereira, too. Did you see that? Pereira.
They got to Pereira.
Well, don't kid yourself, Andy.
They get to people, I know.
Don't kid yourself.
They've
this league is as corrupt as any.
They've gotten to me.
Pereira immediately tweets out, that's the incorrect call. Andy read the tweet on the pregame show. That's an incorrect call in Arizona. That ball was not downed and then completely changed his tune because he said he had a half-hour conversation with Dean Blandino.
Well, you know, sometimes he just doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, well, this is to the point where this was my Around the NFL a couple of weeks ago. Florio wrote about this yesterday. When you have your rules experts not clear on the rules.
Right.
There's something too complicated, right. Too confusing about
your
rules.
I was just
going to
say, then go back and rewrite that rule.
But there's a million of them that you can rewrite, like this kickoff one that Al's talking about.
Right. But I think football's a pretty complex game. I don't know that
I know.
Can
there's all nuances.
Totally clarify.
But even
to
fix.
Me, what's wrong with on a punt, if the kicking team ever makes contact with the ball in the field of play, once the kicking team touches the ball, that's where it's down.
Right.
Now, the receiving team still has the opportunity to come in. Like, if it just goes off the kicking team's leg, the guy can go in for that Jeremy Ross play if he wants. But the ball should be down where it's touched by the kicking team. But it has to be touched and controlled, and then how long does he control it, and where are his feet, and why have all this gray area? I have never seen that play called the way it was called on Sunday, ever, in all my years of watching football.
So once a kicking team member touches it, it's down.
Well, like, for example, if the ball bounces at the 20-yard line, and it kicks off the gunner for the punting team at the 20-yard line, and it rolls all the way down to the 1, and it's downed at the 1, the ball's going back to the 20. That's where they would spot it, where it was first touched by the kicking team. Now, if it ended up in the end zone, they would call it a touchback. But let's say it once it deflects off the punting team, you can't gain yards. after that.
No, I know, but what
so
about
so why not just
like,
have it be done? If that's where it's, why does it have to be controlled? Why can't it just be touched?
So how would you ever recover a kick?
He's saying though it's still alive.
As the kicking team.
Yeah.
Well, if no. Most punts are fielded by the receiver.
Wait, are we talking about punts or kicks?
Punts.
But
punts.
I thought you were talking about kicks.
No,
too.
Punts. Yeah. The Arizona, maybe I didn't explain that. The Arizona play was a punt. That they punted the ball down to the 1 yard.
No, I know.
Line. No, I know you know. But
now
I
was thinking about the kick, and
yeah,
I was.
But I'm worried that maybe some of the listeners didn't know.
But at what point after it, let's say, deflects off a guy's leg, is the ball dead?
Not until the whistle blows.
No, but so when
the receiving team can come in and pick it
right,
up.
Right. So yes. When should the referee blow the whistle after he sees it deflect off the kicking team?
When it stops moving and he blows the ball dead. I think if it's still moving, you don't blow the whistle.
No, if the ball's still moving, it's live unless it gets into the end zone.
Okay. But back to the safety one, no one had gained possession of the ball. Yes, it's a live ball, but no one had gained possession.
And I think that's what they ruled, what you're saying. I think that's what they
ruled.
It had
nothing to do
with impetus. No one had gained possession.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
but they didn't possess it and bring it back into the end zone.
Right, right.
They knocked it into the end zone inadvertently.
Right,
right.
So I don't know where the impetus came into that.
But there is that if you haven't possessed it, now your best chance, I guess. Oh, no, because you could recover it. I don't know.
Anyway. Let's go back to the phones.
Just some interesting
but
plays
I also
that
think
happened.
The NFL gets into one of their rules that sort of is a factor in a variety of areas is possession. You know, the man downed the ball because he had possession with 2 feet down.
There's no
you
way
wouldn't
that
give
was
him
a, catch.
A touchdown.
You wouldn't have given him a catch.
So your word possession or like you have all these variances of when you possess the ball.
Right.
That was not a catch if it was a pass play. So don't tell me, and it wasn't a downed ball either. Anybody who watched that, he did not down. Did you see the play, Fred?
No.
He did not down it. I mean, there is nobody.
He was running toward the end zone. He grabbed the ball and realized he was going to fall into the end zone and just threw it back in.
Like there
You've
was
seen
no,
the play a million
sure,
times.
Sure.
There was BS.
But they said because he caught it instead of batting it, then it was considered possession. It was a terrible call.
Yeah,
it was
a terrible call.
And they got really hosed because we thought initially they were going for the touchback. So if you're, who was it?
Detroit.
We thought they were challenging and saying, no, we were actually in the end zone. We want you to take the ball at the 20. They ended up with the ball on the 1 yard line.
It ultimately goes down as one of the greatest challenges ever. It saved them about 55 yards of field position.
Yeah.
Let's go to Brandon in Seattle on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Brandon.
Browner?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
What's up?
There's the entertainment while I'm in med school, a dreading class.
You're in med school and you find us entertaining. That's good for our demo.
It really is. We appeal to all types.
He's going
to
be a psychiatrist. So.
Right. Oh, really?
I'm about to do plastic surgery.
Plastic surgery. Boob jobs, baby.
Yeah. I had two things. What do you guys think of the whole Bente? I know you guys kind of glossed over it, but can Jonas Gray really get us out of it? Because when you look at our next six opponents, there's four opponents that are in the top 10. Can Jonas make Gray take us to the promised land when we have some tough opponents to the run?
I don't know. I'm not sold on Jonas Gray like Fred is and like Dana is. Do I think he's better than Bolden? Yes. Do I think he's a legitimate running back? Yes. He's not Shane Vereen. But do I think he can run against good run defenses? Is the offensive line good enough to block against good run defenses? Yeah. I am still not sold
Look,
on
Gray
that.
Gray is only going to be as good as the line in front of him. I think that's the kind of back he is. He's not going to, create stuff and, shift direction a la Barry Sanders. He's going to be as good as what is given him, So
they better be able to throw the ball against those teams would be my observation from afar because they're not going to run the ball effectively against all of those teams. They might have one good game against one of those teams, but Detroit, to a lesser extent Miami, they'll probably run the ball a little bit against Green Bay. I don't know enough about San Diego's run defense, but I don't think that they're going to be able to rely on Jonas Gray averaging 5.5 a carry against Detroit.
Yeah, he's no Barry Sanders.
Thanks,
38
Brandon.
38 carries. He's not the kind of change of pace, change of direction kind of guy.
Drinking some Cavassier or something. I don't know.
You have to mock our callers.
Well,
That is not
so
appropriate.
So, Freddie, Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Okay. Andy and I were just apoplectic watching this
Notre
game.
Dame well, Northwestern.
Because I need to know, what is his salary? What does he make? $1 million, $2 million?
Oh, I think a lot more than that, right?
Like, very lucrative job. I mean, he's probably making half as much as Bill Belichick makes. And he's making mistakes that you wouldn't make, Fred.
Because
you know
touchdown.
That when a kickoff hits somebody, it's a live ball.
They scored a touchdown to go ahead 40-29 midway through the fourth quarter. 40-29.
Do a quick math,
11
Fred.
Points.
Quick math, 11 points.
Right.
What does that mean?
8-3.
Okay.
So what do you do? After you score that touchdown, what do you do?
Who just scored?
Notre Dame scored a touchdown.
To give themselves an 11-point lead.
To get, yeah, you kick the one-pointer.
Because it gives you a 12-point
right.
lead. Now
because,
you need two touchdowns.
Right.
Because is there a difference between 11 and 12?
No.
No, 11 and 12. So
yeah, of
try,
course
try
there
again.
Is. Yeah.
Okay. But is there a difference between 12
oh,
and 13?
Yes. Of course.
No, there's no
there
difference
isn't.
Between 12 and 13.
He's not so good at this game. No, I know
right.
what you're saying.
Bottom line is 12 and 13, the other team needs two touchdowns,
right.
two extra points to beat you. 11 and 12, a touchdown and a two and a field goal can tie you.
And correct me if I'm wrong, they took a timeout, too.
I believe they did.
So not even one of his assistants said, hey, Brian, what the F are you doing?
So that's
right?
that's number one.
He Fireable takes, offense,
He gets
in my
an
opinion.
11-point lead, and he goes for two, doesn't get it. Sure enough, Northwestern gets the ball. They go down the field. They score. They go for two and get it to get within three with about 3.5 minutes left. So they got to crank out a couple of first downs. In typical Notre Dame fashion, on third and long, Everett Golson just throws a ball up for grabs. The receiver just falls down for no apparent reason, and they get called for pass interference. Guy wasn't even in the same block. Never mind.
He generally exaggerates. He is not exaggerating this. He's right. It was a Notre Dame Saturday.
It was, okay. And I immediately tweeted, texted you guys, another Notre Dame Saturday, not knowing that Andy had already tweeted
I had already tweeted to him, hey, Paul, another Notre Dame Saturday.
So now there's like a minute and a half left. Northwestern is out of timeouts. And they're on Northwestern side of the field. They weren't even backed up into their own end where you would say, I don't want to take a chance. I might have to punt. What does he do? Minute and a half left, no timeouts. 2 minutes left, no timeouts.
No, 140, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. He runs a play. What happens? The guy gets stripped and fumbles. Northwestern goes right down the field, kicks a field goal at the gun, and they win the game in overtime. In overtime, his kicker missed a field goal in the first possession.
He yells at him.
He chews the kid's ass out.
Yeah, because he knew that he had screwed up.
Chewing the kid's ass out. I just tweeted out.
That's not fair.
He ain't the one that went for two up 11.
Right.
All he gets is a free college education. You get millions and millions of dollars to make those decisions. There's a flipping car. Anybody could have made the decision.
Right.
And I do blame some of his staff because I'm pretty sure they took a timeout and nobody fixed it and said,
what are you doing?
Kick the ball. Kick. It was so automatic that when they
Mike
scored.
Mike Mayock said it was so automatic.
They should have had about 90 people on that sideline going like this. One.
Doug Flutie didn't say it. Doug Flutie needed Mayock to point it out to him.
Not really. Doug Flutie goes, I don't really get. He questioned it. He didn't definitively say it's stupid. Wow. And has Mayock gone down the ladder? Like, he used to be like the color guy for the NFL, the color guy for Notre Dame, didn't he?
Well, now CBS he's like is doing it now.
But now he's like a sideline reporter or something.
Yeah. Well, they're keeping him busy, but.
No, I think they realized he's not that good.
The thing about Brian Kelly I never liked is he has no problem berating a guy, one of his guys on the side.
Well, I need somebody to berate him in public right now.
Is Flutie on every week?
I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that was a different booth for them, but I don't watch every game like that. I watched a good chunk of that game because that was the longest one. The other games were older.
Like a year ago.
Some really good games.
He was doing NFL Thursday and Saturday. You'd see him now. He's barely a sideliner. He's Aaron Andrews.
Let's go to Malachi in Brockton. Hey, Malachi.
She'll be here this week.
How y'all doing, guys?
Good.
What's up?
I'm all right. I have a couple of things that I want to talk about here. First of all, that was a great ground attack by the Patriots. But, you know, I'm not too sure if we would have won that game, if we had rushed for 200 yards because Brady was just a little too off to me, you know, missing throws and he missed that throw into the back of the end zone to Edelman and missed the screen pass to LaFell. And, you know, he was missing throws all day long. But, you know, we won it because we was able to, you know, ground and pound the ball and be physical up front. But I'm not sold on Jonas Gray. You know, we rushed for a buck and some change last year, you know, against the Colts. So, you know, this just seems something that we just seem to do every time we rush them. Another thing I want to talk about, you know, I was very disappointed in, Brown's coverage. I had higher expectations for him and, he kind of disappointed me that night. But, I'm not going to give up on him. You know, you also have to understand that he missed, basically all of last year. You know, he's just now starting to come back. So, You know, I think he's a little bit rusty. You know, I do think, you know, he did a little bit better. He did better against Julius Thomas and, you know, and Brandon Marshall and them. But, you know, this week wasn't a good week for him. You know, but I was basically calling to tell you guys that I think that, you know, Denver is going to lose to Miami this week. And I think that in week 12, I think it is, I think we're going to lose to Green Bay. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, too many times on Sunday, I just seen that the pass rush wasn't there. You know, the pass rush was weak. Andrew Luck had all day to throw in the pocket, you know, and it wasn't even necessarily bad coverage. But when you have 10 seconds, 11 seconds in the pocket, you're going to find somebody open. I just think that Aaron Rodgers is the best thrower of the football since Dan Marino. So I think that if you give Aaron Rodgers all day long, he's going to just shred this Patriots defense apart. So, you know, that's what I think, guys. I think we have to get that pass rushing situation under control. If we expect to win up in Green Bay, you know, I'm not really concerned about San Diego, you know, and all these other teams coming up. But Green Bay is the one that concerns me.
All right. Thanks, Malachi.
Yeah, interesting. If Malachi is right and Miami beats Denver and then the Patriots lose next week to Green Bay, that sets up a battle for the division.
Yeah. Yeah,
with Miami.
Miami and
you know, a couple. I'm assuming that Miami wins their other games until it's
still
a few weeks
away. They can tie us.
I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, but I'm just saying, if Malachi's right. Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
No, I was going to say you have some breaking news.
Oh yeah, LeGarrette Blount got released, which is what we thought was going to happen.
You on him?
Nope.
I'm on Jonas.
We got our guy.
I'd take him.
You think he's that much right now better than Gray?
I have seen him do more in the National Football League to tell me that I know what I can get out of
him. Yeah.
I would take him, too.
You know, Jerome Bettis did more in the National Football League, too, but I wouldn't take Bettis now either.
Oh, for God's sakes, that's dumb. Anyway.
You are a whole ass.
Malachi just gave me another example of a guy who has been successful with a bad offensive line, by the way, is Aaron Rodgers, who runs for his life every week and somehow finds a way to make plays.
Big fan of the term thrower of the football, too.
Good thrower of the football.
I'm a big fan of that term.
Is that like scoring the basketball in basketball?
Yes.
What else do you do? These terms kill me.
Let's go to Trey in Memphis.
I just was wondering if you guys talked about or posed to Patriots Nation the Hoylet Bowl. I saw it was termed.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't bring up good connotations. But the Ryan Mallett getting a victory.
Yeah.
Rode a running game and got a victory.
Did well. Two touchdowns. What you got, Trey?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Great.
Man, Malachi stopped me. Yeah, the Dolphins are nowhere in the hell that they're going to beat the Broncos this weekend.
Why do you say that?
Stop it. This is not going to happen.
I don't think so either, but I don't.
It's not going to happen, but I'm not going to spend time on that game. I want to talk about our guys. As far as the pass rush concerned, man, I think if the emphasis was to keep Luck and the backs contained a little bit. They didn't want Luck running all over the place. They didn't want the back, you know, catching a lot of passes in the flats or, you know, in the middle of the in the middle of the field. So I think, you know, that's why, you know, the pass was a little, you know, they went back to this, you know, read and react type of stuff. So and as far as Brady, I think he looked at the game plan and just was like, damn, we're going to run the hell out of the football, but Ben Roethlisberger threw for 6 touchdowns, and I think that's why he was kicking off the stuff that's uncharacteristic, man, and just trying to, you know, he didn't like the game plan. I don't think he really was too thrilled about the game plan.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think Brady's the kind of guy that wants to, you know, that needs his passes, you know, like some other quarterbacks in the past.
Oh, yeah, Minnesota.
You know, think about it, Fred. You see what Ben Roethlisberger did, and you being Brady, you know you can light him up too.
Well,
so, yeah, but you know, I don't really agree with that. I think Brady looks at it and says, if we can rush for 250 a week, I'll take it every freaking
week. How many times did he say it's the easiest way to win?
Right. Oh, this morning must have said it 30 times.
He didn't look too unhappy in the locker room after the game.
And as Paul says, they always get him his cheap touchdowns.
But I will say,
they took care of him,
Trey,
first and goal from the one.
I will say, Trey, though, you know, a lot of people on the blog during the game, you know, especially that first half, were writing in and saying, you know, because they're watching the TV. I couldn't actually watch TV for this one because I couldn't get reception inside there. But they were saying that
Brady just, he doesn't look right. Like there's something wrong
with
him.
He didn't play well.
Well, no, but even.
He wasn't on, well you're talking about physically?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe there's something physical about
like,
it.
Like,
he didn't play well.
He just didn't seem like he wasn't into it. He wasn't, you know.
I'm with Andy on this. I don't think anything about
doing
mental.
Was too much Giselle Bundchen doing the bye week?
Could be. I did joke that maybe he threw Ben too far across the pool and tweaked a little something.
And they also have been a little sluggish offensively coming out of the bye week recently.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I thought they got off to a little bit of a slower start.
I want to go to Browner. It looked like to me he was playing to not get a penalty this time because normally
he didn't get one.
Not for lack of trying.
He was trying to, you know, it's like, you know, somebody like, okay, Brent, let's cut down on the penalties. It took away some of his aggressiveness, man, and I think, you know, he didn't have that edge to him.
Okay, well, I hope this week.
Have that edge.
I hope this week somebody goes to him and says, "Brandon, let's cut down on the passes you give up."
All right, I want to give you guys
can make an argument as to which is worse.
In a while, can I leave one?
Sure.
Hey, friend, how's it going? It is Nick Pick Tuesday, and I hope I have some good stuff.
All right, Trey.
John Rook not going to be happy.
Oh, boy.
That was awesome.
That was pretty good.
That's good stuff. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all?
Hey.
What's up? Hey, Melvin.
Man, not much. I mean, I kind of talked about the game already. Like, I think, like, I was really impressed by LaFell with those back shoulder throws. I know Brady had a bad game, but they had a couple of crucial ones.
Yes.
That the timing was on. They were tough, you know, tight catches. You know, those were really impressive to me. But this is real quick. Do you all think that, well, I mean, were you all concerned that when Amendola was back there returning all these kicks and stuff like that, that he was going to get hurt?
Then you put Edelman back
put
there.
Put Amendola?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'd rather have him back there than Edelman in terms of worrying about getting hurt.
Right.
And
now,
Chung
even.
Obviously, I'd rather have Edelman because he's much more dangerous, but I'm talking about worried about getting someone hurt.
Right.
I can lose my fifth receiver. I can't afford to lose that Edelman.
Plus, we got Dobson on the bench.
And I do think that in the playoffs, it'll be Edelman. When they're looking for plays and whatnot.
Now, Freddie, were you concerned about Edelman? Did you happen to see him post-game?
He struggled physically.
He landed on the sticks.
Yeah, but he was back in after.
Oh, yeah, but he was like, limping around. Yeah. He's fine.
Can't wait till the injury report comes out. Yeah. Did not practice.
He's just losing it.
One last thing, then I'll let y'all go. What about, I mean, if Browner struggles like that, what do you think they're going to do with Denner? Just keep on inactive,
I have to think that if Brown or something happened to him, Dennard would not only be active but would be playing. Fred and I yelled about it early. I still think Dennard can cover. I think he can cover in the National Football League.
I haven't seen anything that made me think he's any worse than he was.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know what the deal
is. It's been a very weird year coming off the surgery, missing the summer, getting hurt.
As simple as what we said. He's the number three on both inside and outside, and because of that, you don't make him active.
Yeah,
it might be that. I don't know.
But I still think he can cover and play. With Darrell Revis, I think he could be a corner on a championship defense. I don't think he's a liability to the point.
And who do you sit to bring him in?
Malcolm Butler.
Well, what?
Who's active to make who's inactive to make him active on a typical night?
Malcolm Butler's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not in love with Malcolm Butler like the guy earlier who said he's going to be a star.
Now, listen, I don't think anybody was higher on Malcolm Butler than I have.
Maybe
been.
Mrs.
Is there one? I don't know.
His mom, I meant.
Oh.
Came from somewhere.
The Butler did it.
I thought he had a terrific training camp. I was very happy with what he did in training camp.
That was Jonas Gray-esque.
You know? Yeah. I was to the point where Indy was pointing out every time he got beat at practice so he could make fun of me. That's how obnoxious I was with Malcolm Butler.
He came out smoking.
But that said, he's a bit player at this point, not ready. I mean, I don't think he was overly competitive in that Denver game. I know a lot of people were lauding his play against Emmanuel Sanders.
Mm-hmm. You know who was lauding his play? Peyton Manning, because he kept going at him.
I didn't see it. But I don't understand why he would be playing ahead of Dennard unless there's something we don't know about Dennard.
That said, I'll get back to my main point, and I've been my main point all year. If you score 30-plus points, this defense is probably good enough.
Oh, God.
You've done it against the Broncos. You've done it against the Colts.
Yes, you've taken good teams, and you've shown that you can take good offenses, matter of fact, the best offenses, and keep them in the 20s. That's enough to win a Super Bowl.
But we know the line is fine. And I rhyme sometimes. If he hits Moncrief, if what we put up for our Take Tuesday, if LaFell doesn't catch that, if a couple plays go the other way and suddenly you're giving up big passes and not making the big passes you need, now all of a sudden everything changes.
Okay.
Just flip me the bird.
Jim from Ace Ticket writes in.
Really?
Yeah.
He said, Fred, why don't you call it the Ace Ticket Hotline more often?
Well, I don't understand why Jim didn't call in on the Ace Ticket Hotline. But anyway, he says, now he's joking. Jonas Gray is the FedEx Ground Player.
When you're not listening to us, you always say it's because you're scanning emails and getting ready for emails, but you're never ready for the emails.
Jonas Gray is the FedEx Ground Player of the Week. He was a force in the I formation.
No.
He was nominated.
He's one of three nominees.
And more importantly, he scored on the goal line, something that he could not do prior to this game. It was very important for our offense to propel back our run game so that we don't have to be stuck in the shotgun formation like Denver and Indianapolis.
He couldn't score prior to this game?
Well, they did all that funny, stuff.
They tried like once with him.
And it wasn't a hurry up?
Yeah, a lot of that was Vereen.
But he had a hurry up, and I've dubbed that the hurry up and fail.
I think it was the Chicago.
That whole thing has failed, not
Jonas
Vereen.
Hurry up and fail.
I mean, Jonas Vereen.
They ran plays this week, and it's funny how it happens. You know, they got in.
I like Jonas Gray. I want to make sure I'm clear about that. I really like him.
Now you do.
No. I've liked him as a guy along.
No, but as a player.
I don't love him as a player.
Yeah,
I think he's no offense to him, dime a dozen.
Look, I saw something in preseason, and
he averaged 3.8 yards a carry. He dominated.
No, I saw something in his ability.
What did you see?
I saw him hitting the hole compared to the other guys that were out there, James White and the other.
Well, James White had a horrific preseason.
Okay, compared to the other guys out there, I saw him taking the ball and hitting the hole a lot faster, being more decisive. I saw a guy from his size who actually had some quick feet. I saw that. I thought that he could contribute. I was excited about him.
You know who he's excited for? The offensive
Plus,
line.
Plus, I like guys that are 220. You know? I think it says something to be able to hurt people when you hit them.
Yeah, I need to see some. That's all. I mean, he had a great game the other day, but I haven't really seen what you're talking about.
But do you think
often.
He's
well,
only...
You guys weren't paying attention in the preseason.
Do you think...
Looking at your navels.
I actually was.
Looking at my navel.
Yeah, I wasn't staring at your navels.
I wasn't counting plays that got called back for penalties, which was probably his most productive play of the preseason. It was like a 40-yard run that got called back. I didn't count that because it was a penalty on it.
Does he need... I mean, I know you said he's not Barry Sanders, which I thank you for bestowing that upon us. But does he need to be 3 yards downfield on every play before he's touched? Which is kind of what it was the other night.
No, I said that. I said he's going to take what the offensive line gives him.
So he's not really capable
of running
the ball. So it's
not about him,
then. Right.
No, but there's a lot of guys that can't even do that. You know, like they tiptoe around and, you know.
He's not a tiptoer. I'll
right,
definitely give him
right.
that. And he's powerful. I'll
right.
give him that. He's got a nice build. He's got a nice physique. He's thick. I just don't know that if you need to run and they're not dominating the line of scrimmage, he can run.
I think the more he gets his confidence up, the more he will be, okay, I'll hesitate, bounce it out, maybe move two holes down.
I don't think he needs to start bouncing.
Well, I think
he starts bouncing. He's going to be bouncing in the backfield for losses.
He has to be selective about it. He can't do it all the time.
So as Paul would say, he's the Tom Brady of running backs. As long as everything's working around him, he'll be fine.
Well,
Paul nodded, by the way.
I just would say that who couldn't run the ball under those conditions? If the offensive line is blowing everybody
away.
Well,
but there are some. You know, we've seen enough of Lawrence Maroney tip-tap and pitter-patter, and he might ruin some
Lawrence
of those runs.
Lawrence Maroney wouldn't have had 199 yards the other night?
I think he would have had it differently. I think he would have had a big run. He probably would have had an 80-yard run. I think he would have had some runs where you said, there was more there than
just
that.
Take it.
He was a frustrating player, and I don't think Jonas Gray is a frustrating player.
I don't know enough about Jonas Gray, the player, to have made the... evaluations that
I'm just basing
That's all
it
I'm
on
saying.
The
now,
for the way we've seen him run in the preseason in the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's not a dancer, he's not a pitter patter.
No, he's a hit the hole hard kind of guy, and that's what they need. And if he keeps doing it, that's great. I just feel like if they don't throw the ball with success, if they have more games where Brady is like he was the other night, that's not going to be good for this offense because they're not going to have this to rely on.
Right.
That's my point. And I said the same thing last year when LeGarrette Blount was doing it. You can't rely on rolling through like that. Now, they're not relying on that. This year and last year, there's no comparison because the other night they ran the ball by choice, not because they were necessity. They had to, because we can't trust Tom Brady to throw the ball. He has no one to throw to. Their game plan was to come out with an extra tackle in Cameron Fleming and dominate that game, and that's what they did.
And I want to just be clear, because I actually joked about this with Jonas Gray last week, that he, on that, remember he had that long run against Chicago, I think the first run of the game, and I said, you kind of know how it feels being DeMarco Murray there. You were, you know, 12 yards downfield before anybody hit you. DeMarco Murray, that's how he's had this great start to the season. That offensive line has dominated. He has had a boatload of runs right. where he doesn't get touched till he's 7 yards downfield.
Right. So, I told you the numbers. Pro Football Focus, I don't care if they're right, wrong, or indifferent, but it's startling to hear them say he had 100 yards after contact. Half of his yards were before he even got touched.
Right.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if that again, that might be typical of all backs. You know, a back that finishes with 50 yards every week might have 25 after contact. That might be a 50% of your yardage. That might be typical. I don't look at those right. numbers every week. But that seems like a lot of yards to get before you even get
hit. Do you go to Pro Football Focus?
No, I get them sent to me.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, the circle jerks?
No.
Oh.
Let's go ahead.
Some guy from Pro Football Focus asked me if I would sign up for it, and I did.
Oh.
And he sends me a breakdown after every game.
Let's go to Justin in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
It's not bad.
You and Sam.
So what's going on? I think we're being a little harsh on Malcolm Butler, because any cornerback not named Darrell Revis would have gotten toasted by Emmanuel Sanders. Anyone.
Could, you know, that's kind of my point.
I'm not being
it's
hard,
hard
on Malcolm
to cover
Butler.
In this league.
I'm the president of the Malcolm Butler fan club.
I actually think the guy I'm being hard on is Browner.
Right. Browner is the guy that we're wondering about.
Yeah, but thank you, guys.
All right, Justin.
Okay, thanks, Justin.
That's
just wanted to make sure. Oh, hey, you got something to say? Call up. We'll talk
that
to
weed,
you.
It's a hell of a drug.
Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? Man, I want to give up three cheers for my man Jonas Gray. You know, my phone call last week was kind of a prelude. I know I touched on James White. You know, we're talking about this running game, and, you know, I just can't tell you how pleased I am to see that type of a physical runner in that backfield. You know, the thing with Jonas Gray, it's not about him dancing. I love the decisiveness, but what pleases me most is this guy finishes runs. You know, you need to wear down defenses, start shaving them down, and that Indianapolis defense just looked downtrodden and beat up once that third quarter came to about midway or so. To me, the puzzle is now complete. I am all in on a serious run to the Super Bowl. I cannot say enough also about Gronk. I mean, that performance run blocking was absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, that last touchdown catch and run, to me, was an absolute instant classic. I mean, we're going to see that for years to come on highlights. You know, as a lifelong Ben Coates fan, he's always been my number one guy as a Patriot. And after Sunday night, I got to say, Gronk's taking that top spot. What a player. That's all I got, guys. Over and out.
You all stay right. off Gronk. Unlike Fred, I don't let people on the bandwagon.
Oh, yeah. He's all yours, right?
Mine.
Yeah, you and Teddy Bruschi. Let's go.
No, I'm not letting Bruschi on the bandwagon either. I've been saying for years that he's the best tight end that there is.
Richard.
Now Bruschi suddenly wants to jump on.
Bruschi said it before he was drafted.
No,
let's
he didn't. I said it before Bruschi.
Let's go to Rich in New Jersey. Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up, Rich?
Real quick, I just got two questions for you. Were you guys really serious about the Randy Moss article that was up on the website the other day about having him come in?
No.
What do you mean?
I was serious.
Well, you weren't even part of it.
Yeah,
well,
you weren't even there.
Whoever said yes, I forget who it was.
When you put up a debate like that, you have to have a yes to go with a no. So,
what did you think of the yes and no argument on that? Did you like both sides of the argument? It was well argued, no?
I mean, it seems like a good idea, but I don't know.
No, well, you do know the story behind it, though, right, Rich? That he made a comment last week that he would consider coming back.
Yep.
To play with Manning or Brady.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So we didn't just like say they need to bring Randy Moss back.
And don't get me wrong, as I've said, you know, jokingly, if you want the guy who was mentored by Moss, Brian Timms, well then take the real thing. If he's willing to have that role where I'll throw to you once a game, he can't be much different from Brian Timms.
You argued against it, right?
I argued for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think then in your argument, Paul made the best thing. I mean, after he left the Patriots, he did nothing.
Right.
You know,
but he says
and now we're talking
done.
5 years since then or whenever it was, you know.
But he's not physically done. He had to retire because of some issues. And all I'm saying is for one catch a game, why not? Take the top off the defense.
And second question, you guys heard about LeGarrette Blount, obviously, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want him. Paul wants him. Fred doesn't.
I'd take Ben Tate over LeGarrette Blount.
I would take either one of them.
What happened to Ben Tate? What are the details on the Ben Tate
He wasn't
thing?
Happy with his role, I guess, according to Fred. I just wanted to know if there was anything.
Yeah, if there's anything more, then I'd like to know. But
he had two carries for minus 9 yards
last
week.
We know Blunt, the only other is
but he's done nothing
marijuana usage. I mean, he got busted for that early in the year with
Ben. We encourage that.
I'm not saying we encourage it, but we know what it is, and we've dealt with it in the past. He had the Impala bouncing through Foxborough, and however that works out, that's fine with me.
All right, Rich, thanks a lot.
I think you cracked Rich up with that one.
I don't even know, wasn't it Impala?
Sam, I don't even know what you're talking about.
You don't remember his car?
No.
He had like one of those old school that you'd see in like a Snoop Dogg video, but just like a regular car with massive wheels and rims, and I just felt like Impala.
It was a lowrider.
I'm not a jock.
But it was a high-riding lowrider.
I don't know what the players ride.
Low.
Well, you'd have to live in a bubble. The thing was everywhere. It was like everywhere. Pictures, photos, videos.
Like whose photos and videos? The Garrett Blunts?
I don't know, but it was everywhere. Open your eyes.
I don't follow that stuff.
What, life? The team?
The
team you cover?
Paul doesn't read the lifestyle.
First of all, you're on Facebook, so.
I certainly don't do that.
You follow social media, because I'm not on any of those.
Wait a minute. That has nothing to do with players. I'm not friends with the players on Facebook.
No, but doesn't stuff get like.
No.
Sent out?
On Facebook?
Why is my wife always showing me stupid stuff on Facebook?
Maybe I just skip over that stuff. Maybe
she's always showing me, like, look at this animal that did a funny thing.
You have to have the right feeds.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't follow any of it, though. I'm assuming I saw some of it on Twitter and
on the
internet.
Well, you're all over Twitter. I mean, how can you say you don't follow anything?
He has to know who he's feuding with.
All my Twitter is Twitter.
Who am I feuding with this week? Let me get on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, you're on there way more than I am.
I think it's 50-50. It could be Gresh this week.
Sam in Chicago, I'll take Salty Paul.
Fred, if the Patriots, you just made me think of my Gresh fight. If the Patriots lost Tom Brady.
Yes.
Would they be battling for the number two seed? Would they have a good chance at the number two seed? Prior to Sunday night.
Ah, so now they're 7-2 going into Indy.
Right.
That's a tough one.
Really?
I just think at the end of the day.
It'd be a lot harder to imagine than running
for 300 yards. I just think at the end of the day they wouldn't
be
competitive.
Playing the quarterback.
You know?
Gresh thinks that. I'm not saying they'd win the number one seed, but with Garoppolo and everything around him, I think they'd be the two seed. And I was like, I don't really. Because he thinks. He basically, it was a fight, or not a fight, but he thinks everything would fall apart in Indy if Luck wasn't there. Because he clearly thinks Belichick is better
than
Pagano.
That's true.
And I think everything would fall apart here.
I don't think it would fall apart, but your offensive production would be cut in half.
I think
least.
It'd be better here
and
than
can
it
you
would
afford
be in
that?
Indy.
Can you afford your offense to be cut in half?
Right. Now, I think part of the reason the Patriots would be better is Belichick is a better coach. I think Pagano's a good coach, but I also think their defense is better. You have Darrell Reeves.
Right.
You have a semblance of a defense. I don't know how good it is. The Colts' defense is just, it's nothing.
It's as average as
I don't
average
know how it's the number one third down defense in football, and still is. How do you give up 9 of 12 or whatever and stay number one? That's how dominant they were going in. Why am I yelling?
Time of possession stuff got flipped on them. They averaged 35 minutes time of possession,
right.
And the Patriots had it for 35 minutes this week.
Sam in Chicago, I'll take Salty Paul up on the Detroit 60-yard bet. Yes, I lowered the yardage, but Detroit is number one in run defense this year.
So are you taking that bet, too? A lunch? 60?
Well, 60 is nothing.
Just take it. As you pointed out, we don't put anything up.
All right, you're on.
He'll take it.
If Jonas Gray rushes for 60 yards or more this Sunday, Paul has to set Eric up with a chick, a cute one.
That's not even possible.
You know what? I didn't want to get into this. He'll get all mad. I've even discussed this with him and tried.
Paul's got a pipeline. His wife's a nurse. There's always nurses.
He would like a nurse.
Right. She's smart. She's going to make good money. She has job flexibility.
I always tell my wife, don't bother because he's...
She looks good in scrubs.
He's just... I wouldn't want to do that to anybody, any of my wife's friends.
So anyway, Sam says, I have lunch for all of you if Gray rushes for less than 60 yards.
All right, sounds good.
Fred, are you okay with this? Because it's putting you in a bit of a predicament.
Why?
You're rooting against Gray.
It's all right. I'll manage to eat somehow.
It's not like they're going to lose the game.
Right.
They're going to throw it this week.
Right. That's how I'm going to say. I'm not rooting against the Patriots. I'm rooting for the Gronk in the passing game.
I think Detroit has very little chance of winning the game.
Because they stink.
They can't score.
Aren't they the number two seed in the NFC right now?
I don't know what their seed is, but they
can't
score.
Think if the playoffs started today.
They might be. You might, Rabbit.
I might be wrong, too. I don't know. I might have read it on
Twitter. They're tied with Green Bay for first, right? Did they beat Green Bay so they have the tiebreaker at this point? Yeah, probably right.
Okay. You know who might be done is Seattle. They got a tough schedule coming up.
Seattle's got a tough schedule, and they have all kinds of problems.
Right. They might just be done.
That team,
they could be the Super Bowl winner that doesn't make the playoffs.
Seattle and San Francisco is unbelievable. Did you see that Ahmad Brooks
no.
for San Francisco took himself out of the game in the second quarter when he realized his role was going to be smaller than he had thought?
Wow.
They have, like, amazing issues on
this
those
was a tough
teams.
Weekend, huh? Brooks, Tate
Blount.
I mean, Patriots fans think Brady was sulking a little bit because he had to hand off so much.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see it
you.
Either. And we look for those types of things.
Oh, yeah. No, we do.
Jeff is writing in from Sheffield, Pennsylvania. He says, I would make the case that Brady is playing better than he has in years. He has more zip on the ball, more accurate, and has so much more presence in the pocket. The two picks he threw were a fluke. If that's as bad as it gets, then he will all be doing great. This is the best he's looked since he's been injured his knee, as far as I'm concerned. Do you think the negative press at the beginning of the year is what put a fire in his belly and has pushed him to give it one last great effort to go to the distance? Also, how do you feel about the fact that as soon as things went bad for Peyton Manning this weekend, that the press immediately turned him on him too and started asking if this is the end of the line?
Because when guys that are in their late 30s don't play well, the logical step is to ask if this is the end of the line.
Like, do fans think it's some sort of personal thing? Or
I mean, if anything, this is final proof that it's not a personal thing, because who is more adored in the National Football League than Peyton Manning? But
Gronk.
What did you say, Fred? Six picks in the last three games?
Yeah, other than me.
Sorry.
No, who says it's the end of the line for
I don't
Manning?
Know. I assumed maybe people were asking him questions.
Fred. I know I am.
Fred.
Yeah, but you were asking it when he was
rolling. Unlike you, I can admit when a guy's skills are diminishing, even when they're playing at a high level, right? This was my argument a lot about Brady. Like, I would keep asking you, are Peyton Manning's skills diminishing? And you'd say, yes. And I say, I absolutely agree.
No.
But he's coming off the greatest individual season a quarterback has ever had statistically. But at some point, it ends for these guys. They can no longer do
every
it.
Every guy, but I don't think that point has come for Brady or Manning.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I don't think it's come for them either.
I think it's close.
I don't think the end is
for
here,
Manning.
But the end is near.
I think it's really close for Manning, and I think
it's.
You know what's
a
little
thing to help himself other than have it be. So the whole thing about Brady, it's got to be perfect, Andy. It's got to be perfect.
And I think the media is a little fraudulent in that all they did was praise him through the first half of the season. He throws these balls to spots. He throws people open. He does. Well, guess what? When you throw a ball to a spot, it's also taking defenders to a spot. And at times that ends up with people getting lit the bleep up. So the same thing, you
like
know,
Danny Amendola
when you're lobbing a ball to a spot.
Right.
The defenders are, they see the trajectory.
Sure.
They're heading towards that spot.
Sure.
So everything you said he was now good at, you know, the new Manning, the way he's sort of learned to play with is what is leading to these Tom Curran calls them hospital throws.
Laundry throws. You lay the guy out to dry. Yeah.
Well, it's all he can do now.
Yeah.
That's how he has to play now.
He's had to adapt.
Right. And
there's no doubt.
And he has adapted better than anyone
and
could have.
Yes, and he can adapt, but he's no longer as good as he once was.
It's why I make Pedro comparison. Pedro throwing 97, Pedro throwing 92. He won a lot of games throwing 92, but he's not Pedro anymore.
But Brady hasn't lost the physical like Manning has.
Okay, well.
I don't think so.
That's where we disagree. I don't think it's the same. I don't think he's lost the same. I don't think it's just an arm strength that he's lost.
He also didn't have neck surgery.
You think he's lost arm strength?
No, I just said it's not the same. It's not the arm strength difference that Brady has, although I do think he's lost arm strength. I don't think he throws the ball outside the numbers anywhere near as well as he once did.
So what do you think he's lost physically?
Mobility?
Yeah. Which is weird because he was never mobile. But, yeah, he's definitely lost pocket presence, mobility, that
and I don't think
je ne sais quoi.
I don't think he drives the ball like he once did.
Wow. Yeah, I disagree. Okay.
Oh, but again, we don't have to have the same old argument every single show. It's okay.
Fred's going to be putting Brady's coffin in the ground and say,
he hasn't lost a thing ever.
Tell you when
him
he's
and
starting
Jonas,
to climb.
Him
it's
and
not
Jonas
happened
Gray.
Yet. It happens.
And by the way.
It happens to the best of them, but it hasn't happened yet.
He's had years since 2007 where from start to finish he was unbelievable. Like the 36-4 year, 36 touchdowns, 4 picks. I'm sorry, but that's better than having a bad month to start the season and then having a good month the next month.
I do
so to
agree,
say that he's
though,
played at a higher level than he has since he got hurt is not true.
He's at a high level, and I do think that was a Brady game. I think Brady has those games almost every year.
Every once in a while.
Sometimes that 36-4 season, he had one of those. You know, he did. I want to say it was against Buffalo, like three balls deflected, bad throws, just like that, but they deflected in the air, and oh, the guy, diving guy doesn't catch it. So when you look back stats-wise, you're fine. But you had that game. I think this game, the Patriots got by it, because to me, this game feels like it always happens in Miami and you lose. This game happened in Indy against a team that's supposedly going for the number one seed, and you won the game thanks to Jonas Gray and the offensive line.
Right. And the defense.
And the defense, except Browner.
John's here. Hey, John Rook, how you doing?
Good, Fred. How are you?
Good. Not much to nitpick this week.
No, not at all. Not at all, but I'm sure we can find something.
I'd call it the Brandon Browner Show. That's my nitpick.
Why is that?
I'm a downer on a Brandon Browner.
You're a downer on a Browner? Why is that?
I don't think he can cover. I think he grabs, clutches, hits at the line, and if a guy gets by him, the guy gets open and catches the ball.
But isn't the job basically to stop somebody, regardless of whatever you cover?
Yeah, he didn't stop Kobe Fleener. He didn't do something that...
I would agree that that is a nitpick that I have.
Okay, good.
It did seem that Kobe Fleener was open in space quite a bit.
Against Browner. And Browner also let Dante Moncrief get by him for a deep ball that Luck just happened to miss.
But I would also argue as well that there was extra attention played to the other receivers, on Sunday night.
I don't care. Browner needs to do his job.
Okay, I just think it's funny that the Patriots have a cornerback named after Andy's underwear.
Wow.
My underwear is not called Brandon.
No, it's called Browner.
Oh, sorry.
Wow. Toast?
Sydney came home from school yesterday. Mommy, I pooped at school, and I wiped really well, but then I looked at my underwear, and there was brown stuff in it.
Why would you say that?
I know. Jeez. You're poor.
Seriously?
Your poor daughter.
Seriously?
And Deidre said, go change your underwear.
Put it in the sink with Andy's.
Put it with Daddy's. I'll do the bleach load.
I suppose I shouldn't tell you at this time that there's cranberry bread in the
oven. All right. John Rook's up next with the playbook, and then followed by all your fantasies at 4 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow at noon.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.